much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
You're about to begin a physically grueling, mentally draining, life-changing adventure.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Go to KROQ.com for the details. If you'd like a pair of tickets for the USC-UCLA Crosstown Rivalry Game, Saturday, November 26th, be callers 1 right now. Hold on a second.
Let me try it again.
Can I try it again? Do you mind?
All right, one more time.
No! No! Oh, God!
And now.
Hey, I gotta say, this February Ola is almost halfway done, and it's not very impressive. Lisa May, put him on the glass.
Our feature presentation.
She's been. Where have you been, dude?
Yeah, it's impressive to me and everybody in this room.
How often does she have to do it?
That's not fair. I haven't seen that. Come on.
You're not gonna.
Your problem.
Come on. Hey, party people. Welcome in to another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Wednesday. How's it going, Beer Mug?
Hey.
You hungry?
Hey. Sorry, I'm putting my head.
Did your depression yesterday send you into a spiral of food?
Yeah.
Krispy Kremes?
No, I didn't go and do a downward spiral, but I got home and I totally emptied out my pantry and fridge of anything that could tempt me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because there were temptations in there.
Sure. Beer Mug's on this diet. There's money on it. And yesterday was the first weigh-in 7 days in. And wouldn't you know, he gained a pound and a half, ladies and gentlemen.
It was awesome. We have to put up the video. I don't think we have yet of interviewing him after the show, Bean.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, the boy was down.
Despondent Beer Mug.
Oh,
what a
so
shame
great.
To have anybody other than Beer Mug do interviews. But I guess in this case, you had to.
Oh, no, he was the interviewee. He was fine. He was just, I asked him how much he weighed before, how much he weighed now, how it felt. He's about to cry.
And many people have been there. And why that sucks is because in Mug's case, he feels like he's really put in the work. He has been up in his exercise by 1,000%. He's really been good about what he's been eating and not eating. So he felt like he deserved at least an indication that he was headed in the right direction.
He expected to lose 5 pounds.
Right.
But he would have been happy with one.
Yes.
Yeah.
He would have been happy with just staying the same. Well, he wouldn't have been happy with staying the same. But, man, to gain weight, that was the best.
Gaining weight. I mean, that's what you were doing every week leading up to the diet, was gaining weight.
Yeah, that was sweet. Yeah.
And he's all about how fast his metabolism is. So, mm-hmm. You know, you expect it to just fall off.
Yep.
Intern Stash was talking to me this morning. He brought up a good point. He's like, it's muscle, dude. It's muscle.
Yeah, that's what you said yesterday.
In 1 week.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. God, in 1 week, really?
It's muscle.
You're so buff, you can barely get through the door of the studio in the morning.
That's what it is.
You're too powerlifting?
Too strong.
All right. Hey, this is a follow-up to the TV show that Kevin brought us yesterday, Swamp People.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
That's people who hunt for alligators. This is a 70-year-old man. He lives in Zimbabwe, which I think must be in Africa. And he's not an alligator hunter, but he does have to cross a river where there are crocodiles, and that's just a part of the daily experience of living in Zimbabwe where he lives.
Right.
So what he does is he takes his pants off and puts them in a box and holds the box over his head to walk across the river because that way you don't get to the other side and you have your pants all wet, right?
I don't like where this is going.
No.
Probably his shoes, too, I would imagine.
Uh-huh.
If he has shoes. Jonah Mature is his name. He told the Sunday News in Britain that he had taken off his trousers, put them in the tomato box above his head before he crossed the river. He had crossed the same spot in the same river several times before, but this time a giant crocodile was waiting for him.
I don't even know.
Oops, sorry.
I sort of have a boner.
No, you don't. I was not suspecting anything, but when I was almost in the middle of the river, I was attacked. It mauled a chunk of my buttocks before attacking my manhood.
Oh.
By the way, if you've got if you're crossing a river where there's an animal that has that many teeth and likes to bite anything in sight, and the water is most likely at waist level, aren't you just begging to have that bitten?
It almost seems like it would make more sense to keep your pants on.
Of course.
So that you have less wiggly going on.
You keep your pants on, and that way they may be wet, but at least things will be intact hopefully, when you get to the other side.
Yeah.
Repeating like a big old worm. It mauled a chunk of my buttocks before attacking my manhood.
Oh.
Tearing my testicles into shreds. Oh. Tearing my testicles into shreds, by the way, is never a sentence that you want to be any part of.
It's the name of my autobiography, by the way. Pick it up.
The skin covering my manhood was partly torn, but I quickly put my thumb in the gator's, or I guess crocodile's, mouth. It then grabbed my hand, and then I could hear my bones cracking.
What? Wait a minute. Hold on.
He put his, yeah, he put his hand in the crocodile's mouth to try to get it off of his junk.
But
so he'd rather now have miss a hand than...
Well, now he's going to miss both, though. I mean, don't you poke him in the eye or something? Don't you try to... Well, not that I'm an expert, but I wouldn't put any other body part in that mouth.
He says, realizing that he was not going to be able to save his box with his personal possessions in it, he threw the box into the river. That move may have saved his life as the crocodile loosened its death grip and swam straight for the tomato box to see what was up. The man escaped bleeding profusely from the nether regions, ran to a nearby house for help. How about that?
That isn't good for you.
No. That is not ideal. So, I don't care what's going on. Beer Mug, maybe you were a little down about gaining a pound and a half yesterday. Maybe somebody listening got a flat tire or didn't get the raise at work they wanted. At least you didn't have your testicles almost ripped off by a crocodile in a Zimbabwe river. Yeah.
How did you say it? Torn to shreds?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Man.
Tearing my testicles into shreds.
Oh man.
Is there anything left down there? You can't tell from the story, can you?
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, no photos in this one.
I'm guessing not. Oh. I'm guessing shreds.
He's done.
Bad sign.
Yeah, I think a crocodile takes care of it, I think.
Yeah.
They don't do things half-ass.
Without much effort, either.
Right.
It's not like that puts up any kind of fight.
Right.
You know?
Like girls do.
What a dumbass.
Oh, man.
All right, let's talk about
this. He's not a dumbass.
He's a dumbass.
He's got to walk across a river to get someplace.
Okay.
He doesn't have the option. What is he supposed to stay on one side of the river for the rest of his life?
Dude.
Now, maybe he could have gotten a boat. Maybe that would have been an option.
Walk further down. Maybe there's a branch you can go across. You spend, I don't know, the rest of your life finding another way across that river.
Okay.
If you know there's alligators in there that attack. Come on.
Am I asking for too much? No, it's not easy for me to say.
No.
It is easy for you to say. This is a guy who has crossed this river many, many times before because that's where he lived and worked, probably. That was his option.
He had other options, dude. He just
In retrospect, yeah, I'm sure any other option would have been good.
Unbelievable.
The first thing he should have done was drop his damn tomatoes and get the hell out of there instead of try to fight with them.
He didn't have tomatoes, Muggs. Oh. You understand it was a box. He put stuff in. Right?
Oh, okay.
Try to keep up.
Because everybody knows alligators like tomatoes. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Want some poppers?
Sure. Thanks for that tweet, Bean. We're going to kick things off in about a half hour.
That's not even. That's where Chip sits down and writes stuff that she tries to pass off as being from my account.
Yeah, it's funny, though, because Ralph brought up yesterday in the post-show meeting that you then somehow defend the tweet.
Whoever it is that wrote those tweets.
You explain what you were thinking when you wrote it, and then you say, I didn't write it, she made it up.
They're excellent tweets, so I do defend whoever it is that writes them, but they're certainly not me.
Bierbach interviewed somebody on President's Day named Horse Crap with the S word, and he has it tattooed on his face under each eyelid.
That is fabulous.
That really is something.
Yes.
And he's going to be a guest on today's Kevin and Bean Show.
Excellent.
Glad to know.
Very excited about that. Brittany Palmer will be in studio
today.
That's
what I'm talking about.
She's, of course, the UFC Octagon girl, and now she's on the cover of Playboy.
Mm-hmm.
I asked Dave for 10 of those just to do some research. I haven't seen any of them yet, though, but, well, you know.
Are you still wallpapering your bathroom at home?
I am, yes. We also are going to talk to an LA Times reporter about who are these people behind the black curtain that vote for the Oscars. Who are they? And why are they the way that they are?
That is a good question.
Many times in the Oscars you go, how could they possibly pick that movie over A, B, C, and D?
Yeah.
Not very often in the Oscars. I mean, there are always quibbles. Everybody has quibbles. But the Oscars generally, they don't blow it as much as, you know, the popular opinion says other award shows like the Grammys have in the past.
Yeah, let's see how many of the artists wins. Let's just see. Let's watch.
Well, you haven't seen it, and it could be a really good movie.
It's not good. You know why? Sound. Sound can enhance things. Bean, you can put tense music. You can say words.
There's lots of music in The Artist.
Also on today's show, we have Drunk Ways You Got Caught with Drugs. We figure you're the audience for this.
These are drunk ways we got caught with drugs?
Dumb
is that what
ways.
You're saying?
Did I say drunk?
Yes,
maybe
you
it's because I am. Dumb ways you got caught with drugs. And most likely it's going to be drunk. But go ahead and we'll tell you when to call with that. You got caught with drugs and it was all your fault and you're an idiot because you wouldn't have gotten caught with those drugs had you thought for 1 second. We have Kevin Pereira in the studio today.
All right. Wow.
Talking about something called Leet Up, which is all new electronics. Very excited to talk to him about that. And why is Ozzy giving away a colonoscopy? So all that on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break and come back with the showbiz.
And now, a moment with Lisa May.
We're honestly a little baffled why someone who's been married for 72 days with a prenup really needs a big, high-powered lawyer.
That was a moment with Lisa May.
A prenup?
Yeah,
those are... Do-do-do-do-do.
A prenup.
Do-do-do-do.
A prenup.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Listeners. That was a Kevin Bean listener who sent that in.
Apparently we don't need help, listeners. Just keep yourselves.
We need all the help we can get.
We don't need that kind of help.
We need it all.
Thanks for that tweet, Bean, coming up after the top of the hour. Right now,
yeah!
We're on Showbiz Bean on a Wednesday show. What's going on?
I don't care. I just want to get to... Thanks for that tweet, Bean.
Me too.
All that matters. You know, it's the saddest time of the year when NFL football goes away.
It's not good.
It's an adjustment, yeah.
No. What did I say?
You said it was the saddest
time. Thank you, yes. Yeah, pay attention, because it is. That's what it is. And, you know, then I'm left with hockey, which I love and I'm enjoying. But I don't get as passionate about hockey because there's so many games, so I follow it. But until the playoffs kick in, it's really hard to strap on my jersey and get out there and just, you know, start really losing my mind.
That's nice that you're able just to count on the playoffs.
Sorry, Kevin, but some of us have
to watch now.
Some teams show up perennially and some don't.
Some fan seasons end shorter than others.
But I think I may have found a new sport that we can all get behind.
Is that right?
And finally rekindle the kind of passion we have for football for this new professional sport.
Okay.
And I know I don't do the sports update, but...
What do you got?
Caught my eye. I just thought it was worth mentioning real quickly. How about Ultimate Taser Ball?
Oh, Taser Ball.
Wow.
Taser Ball.
Ultimate Taser Ball allows players to blast each other with 300,000-volt stun guns. The resulting muscle spasm causes players to fall down or drop the ball.
And then what is it, like dodgeball otherwise? Or what kind of game is it?
I'm not positive. I just found out about it. I did a little more research. But I know it involves running and carrying a ball, and then somebody shoots you with a taser. And the convulsions you get from that make you cough up the ball, and then the other team gets the ball back, and then they try to go with the ball.
Look, we're all thinking the same thing, right? Beer mug.
Yes. There are four fledgling teams in this new league. I'm happy to announce L.A. has its own team.
Is that right?
The L.A. Nightlight. Guess you get lit up like a nightlight when you get zapped. I, of course, will be rooting for my own Philadelphia Kilowatts. Yeah. The Toronto Terror, also part of the new league, and the San Diego Spartans.
So we have four teams, and only three are in America. Is it a Canadian one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there's a lot of... Canada and the U.S. shares a lot of pro teams, a lot of sports. But I'm just very excited about Ultimate Taser Ball. We got to get somebody on to talk about that.
Love it.
We got to find out when there's a game to go see.
Yeah. Can you imagine? Guys,
seize at the mouth.
Coughs up the ball. They should put that in football. They should add that. Look, all right, we won't tackle the quarterback anymore around the knees. You know, we won't go head to head anymore with our tackles, but we do get taser guns.
But you can only use it. You can only use them once per game, or
right.
Something like that.
Yeah. It's like a challenge flag. You only get to use it twice a game, and you get to zap the other players.
I like it.
Don't tase me, bro.
You wouldn't be saying that during the game.
Yeah, you
might. Part of the game. All right, let me give some tickets away to Green Day's American Idiot. This musical, a smash hit direct from Broadway, critically and also financially a huge hit on Broadway. American Idiot, of course, you know, based on the award-winning multi-platinum album by Green Day. Boulevard of Broken Dreams, 21 Guns, Wake Me Up When September Ends, Holiday. I mean, all of these hits will be in American Idiot, the musical. It's happening at the Amundsen Theater. We've got tickets for Friday, March the 16th, and then you have access to the after party with the cast if you'd like to attend. This is quite the event. And these tickets aren't cheap, by the way.
It's all right.
No. Mm-hmm. Worth it. But I'm just saying, here's a chance to go for nothing. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First five callers who get through will get a pair of tickets. See Green Day's American Idiot. I'm so glad that it turned out well, because when I heard they were going to make a musical out of it, I was like...
I know.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes pop music and musicals don't necessarily go hand in hand. I just imagine, don't want to be an American idiot. Just didn't see that going on Broadway. Would not be good. Lady Gaga admits that she had an eating disorder. Oh, of course she did.
Yeah, she had to have everything, right?
Yes, you're the coolest. You're the toughest. You're a survivor.
Wrong. You did it.
She admits she used to throw up every day to stay thin, she says. I wanted to be a skinny little ballerina, but I was a voluptuous Italian girl whose dad had meatballs on the table every night. Well, that's the answer. You eat the meatballs and choke them up, I guess. We're talking about celebrities and food. Jessica Simpson. This is my favorite story, perhaps of the week. We'll have to wait and see.
Fat.
Pregnant.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
Both. Don't get me wrong. But she's apparently trying to use her pregnancy to her advantage. She was recently at a popular Mexican restaurant in Santa Barbara, and she started cutting into the very long line, saying, I have to eat right away. Excuse me, I'm pregnant. I have to get to the front of the line.
Oh,
excuse
my
me,
God.
Pardon. Started just cutting into the front of the line to get her food order. Well, according to Star Magazine, everyone in the restaurant started yelling at her. No, get in the back of the line.
Love
and started
it.
Screaming at Jessica Simpson, trying to use her celebrity
Love it.
And pregnancy to get to the front of the line. Word is she was so embarrassed she left the restaurant and had to settle for Taco Bell instead. So.
Here's some chocolate, Fatso.
And we may have to talk to our Oscar guy about this, but I think Michelle Williams has a shoe-in to win the Oscar for her role as Marilyn Monroe in A
Really?
Week with Marilyn, yes.
Pretty big category.
Because, apparently, she was channeling Marilyn Monroe.
For reals.
For reals. The actress, according to sources, would sit in a room with candles trying to conjure up Marilyn's spirit while filming My Week with Marilyn. So she was actually channeling Marilyn's ghost while she was performing. You can't beat that. You can't beat that, actors.
She wasn't acting.
She wasn't acting.
Just channeling.
She was a vessel for Marilyn's spirit. So all you people who are trying to act, suck it. And if you weren't an actor, if you weren't an actor, what would you do? Us Weekly magazine asked a bunch of celebrities. Jennifer Aniston said, I'd love to be a dermatologist.
All right.
Interesting, that. Michelle Williams, I often dream of quitting acting and becoming a laundress or a sous chef.
A laundress?
Why don't you have to sit in a room with candles channeling the spirit of a laundress in order to get the whites right? Ryan Reynolds said he would have followed in his dad's footsteps and become a Mountie. He's a Canadian.
I could totally see him as a Mountie.
Me too.
He would be a member of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. And Britney Spears, my favorite answer by far. I'd probably be a teacher.
Oh, sure.
I'd specialize in reading and history, she says. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, she's got the gift. Today's celebrity birthdays. Announcer Don Pardo. Is he still doing SNL after all these years?
He is.
94 years old. Don Pardo!
What a voice.
What a voice indeed. Kyle McLaughlin. Of course, Agent Cooper from Twin Peaks. And if you've never seen Twin Peaks, by the way, you're no friend of mine.
Yeah, that's a weird-ass series from early 90s, right?
Rent yourself the first season of Twin Peaks. Sit down and watch it, especially if you've never seen it before.
Your head
will
explode.
Be blown away
about
how weird, twisted, and great that show is.
If only they had worked out an ending ahead of time.
Yeah, yeah. It fell off in quality second season, but the first season.
They definitely were making it up as they went along. All right, what do you guys want to do next week?
What do you want to do, Coop?
Most people probably know him from Sex and the City now, right?
Yeah.
Most women, anyway, know him from that, right?
And, of course, Showgirls.
Well, yeah,
and
sure.
His work in Showgirls is legendary. Comedian Rachel Dratch turns 46 years old today. She from Saturday Night Live. Jerry Ryan, very talented actress. 44 years old. Thomas Jane of Hung is 43. Drew Barrymore is 37 years old. Singer James Blunt turns 35. Singer Tom Higginson of Plain White Tees, 33 years old. And Zach Rurig of Vampire Diaries is 27 years old. I'm Ralph Garvin. I walk the showbiz beat.
K-Rock's countdown to Coachella, because let's face it, if we weren't keeping track, you'd probably miss it,
27
right?
days.
Actually, 7 days.
7 days right now.
51 days. 51 days from right now, and if you want to win your tickets, you can be caller 106.7 at 5 o'clock this afternoon. That's our man Stryker's on then, if I know the schedule correctly. And you'll win a pair of three-day passes at 5 o'clock today. It's Coachella, just 51 days away from the world-famous K-Rock.
All right, let's get into the bit that we like to call
that tweet.
Beam.
Poor Chip.
Why do we do this?
Poor
by
Chip.
Way? Can I ask why do we do this?
You insist.
Why do you do it? Can we ask that? Why do you do it?
That's like saying you're a dog and you're pooping all over the house and we get upset. You go, why do you get upset that I poop all over the house?
Don't you like feces?
Right. Force us.
But
our hand is forced, sir.
But my Twitter is out there. If anybody wants to read it, they can. If they don't want to, they don't have to. Why bring
trying
it on
to help you, man. Trying to help you.
It's like a guy going to a shopping mall and just shooting a gun saying, hey, my bullets are out there. If you want to stand in front of them, that's up to you. But I'm firing them.
All right. Well, you can follow me on Twitter.
No!
Don't do it.
That's the point.
Let's find out if you want to. What do you have for today?
That's that tweet.
I don't actually like you in real life, so stop asking me to like you on Facebook.
Okay.
Hold on.
What?
Shh, shh,
shh. What?
Shh.
Stop defending it.
Look, we don't need clarification.
But
we understand
you
what you mean.
Now,
right? We understand
like
all of this.
So
you
go to the dry
cleaner, and they want you to like them on Facebook. We know.
And I'm tired
we know.
Of liking
got
people
it.
On Facebook or being asked to.
Right, but here's the point. We all got it when your voice said it. So we don't need further clarification.
Okay, I just thought that was...
Did not expect to overhear this at the counter at Denny's in Tacoma. You better read up on the French and Indian War before you say that.
Thanks for that
tweet.
Beam!
Do we need reports from Denny's now? Really?
No. That was a thing that a guy said that was a big surprise to me.
Really? Because we didn't get that from your tweet.
It may have surprised you, but we don't care. We don't need to have a report from Denny's counter, what they're talking about. Hey, Jim, what are they talking about over at Denny's counter? I know, it's going to Bean Baxter with the update.
Thanks for that
tweet.
Bean.
The reason you don't hear that on the news.
Truth is, life isn't always fair. Sometimes you get to be Lady Sybil, but sometimes you are Lavinia instead.
Holy
wow. Thanks for that
tweet.
Beam!
Lisa, you're with me on that, right?
I totally got the reference.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
She watches the damn show.
And that's where I checked out.
Yeah.
So wow, she...
I don't even have Lisa on a Downton Abbey tweet. I don't even get Lisa.
Thanks for that
tweet.
Beam!
If I were George Michael, I would be slowing my roll right about now.
And then there was hashtag Michael Jackson, hashtag Whitney Houston, because the 80s stars were dropping dead. That was the point of that one. He's still standing.
Thanks for that
tweet.
Is this thing on?
Unfortunately, yes.
Man. I hope aliens don't judge our film industry by the Super Bowl movie ads. The Avengers, G.I. Joe, John Carter, Battleship, no thanks.
Wow, you're just bad on every level.
Thanks for that
tweet.
Beam.
From the guy who never goes to the movies, by the way. Never.
I.
Is that it?
That's my
tweet.
Thanks for that
tweet.
Beam.
Tweet ever.
When I watch Ann Curry on the Today Show, I like to imagine she can see me too. I wave to her and show her things.
Oh man, are you joking?
I'm standing by that.
Thanks for that
tweet.
Beam.
Creepiest tweet ever.
Really?
And Ann Curry is so hot.
Right,
she's
we
so
understand
hot.
Bean. We
but
get
I love
it.
Her. What?
We get that you love her and you think she's hot. We're saying your tweet creeps us out.
The idea of you waving your penis at the TV screen when the Today Show is on is not appealing.
Oh, you thought I meant... Oh, no, I wasn't talking about
sure,
those
no.
things.
Right.
No.
Right.
How about you remove card quickly?
Come on.
That's that tweet.
You've had it with ATMs, have you, Bean?
Gas stations. You gas buy stations. The damn gas, you right, put your card in.
That's that tweet.
Bean orders you to remove
it says
your
pull
card.
It out right.
Yeah.
Right.
Tired of it. Oh. Just saying.
But all of us have had to do that. You know what we do? We just pull out the card.
Yeah, really? You don't take time out of your day to tweet that to the world?
That's that tweet.
Right, we're out, look, we're out of time.
I'm out of patience.
Stop tweeting. Just stop. Remember,
say something else there, didn't it?
Remember when Beer Mug went out for President's Day and he met Horse Crap? You can't say the S word on the radio, unfortunately, but the guy uses the S word as his second half of his name.
Beer Mug here with?
Horse.
Horse? Oh, horse.
Yeah, horse. What's up?
Horse. You got that tattooed on the bottom of your, below your eyes.
Yeah, so what exactly is this interview about?
Let me ask you, horse. Do you know what today is?
I don't know. Hey, babe, what's today? Well, what is today?
Today is President's Day.
Oh, yeah? All right.
All right.
We fell instantly and deeply in love with our new friend, Horse, and we said to Beer Mug, if you're any kind of a man, you got his phone number. And he said, believe it or not, Kevin and Beam, I did.
What's up,
hey, Horse.
Hey, how's it going?
Now, we have to let you know before we move on that we can't say the S word. We can't say the second half of your name, which is tattooed underneath your eye.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. What kind of questions are we going to be asking?
Well, I'm going to start with which end of the phone are you talking into, Horse?
I'm talking to the right end.
The right end. Okay.
You are. Okay. All right. You sound pretty muffled there. How long have you referred to yourself by that name, Horse?
About 5-6 years now.
And where'd that come from?
I got it in Ocala National Forest and a rainbow gathering. I ride freight trains, so it's like, you know, it's like kind of like my street name. You know, I just decided to get it tattooed on my face.
Now, hold on a second. So you decided to call yourself Horse S, and then at some point you said, that's not enough. I need to tattoo it, but not on my inside of my arm or my shoulder, but on my face under each eye.
I just got it done pretty much just to say that I really don't, you know, whatever, you know, just whatever.
What if you decide to run for president? And you're going to have to have it lasered off.
I don't see why I'd have to, you know, have to do that. You
good
know
point. All right. Good point. I'd vote for you.
America's a forgiving nation, Kevin.
Made me think for a second, though.
Yeah.
Right. What kind of reaction do you get from people that you meet when they see that word tattooed on your face, Horse?
I get all kinds, man. All over the country.
Now, tell us about riding the freight train, huh? Because I didn't know anyone still did that. To me, that's just something that people used to do in old movies where you would just jump on a train that was going someplace and you didn't even know or care where it was going. You were just along for the ride.
Oh, yeah, them trains, they run, man. They run. You know, you catch your train, take clear cross country, you know.
Uh-huh, but you don't have any destination in mind. Just the ride is what's fun, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't really know. Uh-huh. You know, but all I know is that I'm doing what I'm doing, you know what I'm saying?
Right, sure.
Right. Have you ridden a lot of trains, Horse? I mean, have you been all over the country on a train?
Yeah, I've been every state but like 6 or 7.
Wow.
Wow, that's impressive. And what is it you like about that lifestyle?
I don't know, man. Meet a lot of different kind of people, different places. You never know where that train can go. You know, you might hop on a train, it takes you, you know, somewhere you ain't never really been.
How many times have you hopped on a train and it's gone someplace where you've never been, and then you went, this sucks, and I'm going to get right back on the train and keep going?
Man, I've hopped on trains like in Baton Rouge, in Kansas City, trying to go to Baton Rouge, ended up in North Dakota.
Sweet. Sweet.
Now, I understand when you saw Beer Mug the other day, and thank you very much for talking to him, you had a lady with you named Mississippi. Tell me about your girl.
That's my girl, man. I love my girl.
She's your girlfriend?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for about 10 months now we've been together.
10 months? And she enjoys riding the rails, getting on the train like that?
Yeah, well, you know, we're trying to settle down right now a little bit, you know?
Uh-huh.
It sounds like it'd be tough for a rambling man like you.
But it's, you know, I'm kind of doing it.
All right. You know, what do you do for money? How do you pay for stuff along the way?
Flash signs, you know.
What signs?
Flash signs.
Flash.
Like standing on the freeway with a cardboard sign.
Oh, I see.
Oh, you, Ben. Dude. Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
So you're not a homeless guy, though. You have a place to live, and obviously you have a phone, right?
Oh, see, but I was, like, for about years. I rode freight trains since I was 16 years old.
Wow. For how many years? I'm sorry, your phone cut out. How many years?
I've been riding since I was 16. I'm 26 right now.
Wow.
That's a hard 10 years, though, right, Horace?
Yeah, man. I got some stories, man. I got a lot of stories.
You know, what's amazing to me is that I saw the photo, and by the way, if you go to Beer Mug on Twitter right now, K-Rock Beer Mug, he did tweet a photo of Horace. You can see what he looks like. Here's a guy who's a couple of years younger than Beer Mug, has been living outside, riding the rails for 10 years, begging on freeway overpasses. He still looks younger than Beer Mug. It's amazing to me.
Yeah.
So you're trying to settle down with Mississippi. Does that mean you're going to get married?
One of these days we are, you know.
Does she want to, or do you want to?
We ain't really been talking about that yet.
I got you. All right.
She's not going to take your last name, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Is her first name Dog? What's Mississippi's real name?
I can't say that.
Man. Okay. All right.
Wow,
okay,
really?
State secret. All right, we're almost out of time here, Horace. I'm glad we got a chance to talk to you. So are you looking for work, or what are you doing? Are you still just going to beg for money?
Man, I'm looking for work. I'm looking for work.
Yeah, that's where that tattoo doesn't do you any favors, though, right?
Yeah, whatever.
That's a good point.
I mean, they're not going to hire you at McDonald's or something like that if you've got that tattooed on your face. I mean, you're kind of limiting yourself.
Well, whatever.
Right.
Listen, I'm with you with whatever. I hear you.
Man, one day, I make it, bro. I mean, I'm an artist. I do all kinds of stuff. Man.
Oh, you're an artist. You draw, too, and you sell stuff?
Yeah, I'm writing a book. There's a couple of things I'm doing right now.
I don't doubt it at all. You sound like a guy who gets stuff done. All right, any other message that you might have for our listeners before we say goodbye this time, Horace?
Not really.
Okay. All right, good. That's fine, too.
I would have expected nothing less.
I'm glad we got to talk to you. Thank you very much for the time, okay?
Yeah. Sure. Thanks for the double-double.
You got it, Horace. You got it, dude.
All right. Love you, man. See you later.
I'll carry you home tonight.
Fun, period. It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 6:39.
Puts me in a tight spot because for years I've said I'm not a fan of fun. I don't like fun. So now what do? Because I actually do like that song and that band. So I'm stuck.
Yeah.
All right.
File.
It's Ash Wednesday, apparently. I am not Catholic, but apparently billions of people are. And if you are an observant Catholic, what you know is that Lent has begun now. It's 40 days of basically sacrificing something, giving up something as we head toward Easter. That's basically what happens.
That's right? Yesterday was Fat Tuesday, right?
Yesterday was the big blow-it-out day. Every sin you can imagine, go for it. And then today you wake up and you put chalk on your forehead or whatever, and you go, oh, I'm sad.
I'm not sure you understand fully what's going on, Dean.
I know for a fact that I don't. But most people, they usually give up, sweets or alcohol or something like that. The point is you're supposed to give up something that you really love. And you're going to miss it because you're supposed to be thinking about the Lord's sacrifice. Is that right?
Can we ask the Pope, would you mind? Because you're recapping, it doesn't seem to be working.
We have the Pope? I didn't realize we had His Holiness on the phone. Okay, yes. Hello, Pope. How are you?
Guten Tag, Kevin and Dean. How are you?
Well, I apologize for rambling. I didn't realize you were on the phone, sir.
No, it's fascinating to hear an idiot talk.
Did we explain things?
Chalk on the head. What is that?
Did we explain things anywhere near close?
Open up a blog.
All right. So they say it's Ash Wednesday, but people don't. They don't. Do they actually use ashes from the fireplace?
Oh, my God in Himmel. What an idiot you are.
Well, tell me how it works.
Listen, the ashes indicate a repentance.
Okay.
Sign of repentance and grief over your sins that you've committed, you bad, bad boy.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Beans
the ashes are burnt palm leaves.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay.
And you go into church and they put the sign of the cross on your head with the ashes. symbolizing the beginning of Ash Wednesday for you.
Okay.
Okay.
Or if you don't want to go to church, just go by somebody's ashtray, lick your finger, stick it in, put it on your head.
What?
Nobody knows the difference.
Wait, that's okay?
No, it's not okay.
Oh, I see. All
right. So 40 days, though, that's Lent. We're right about that, and you are supposed to give something that you enjoy up, right?
Lent originally was a 40-day season of fasting where you would not eat.
But then did everybody...
It would give you focus and clarity so you could concentrate more on repentance and the sacrifices made by Jesus.
But not eating sort of has gone out of fashion, hasn't it?
Now we ask you to give up Trident chewing gum.
Just like pick something you like. Don't stop eating.
Yeah, just, I'm going to give up Molly McButter. I won't use that anymore. Oh, I think I'm going to pass up the Chili's Funyun Bloom or whatever they eat there at that restaurant.
Right.
Well, look, you're the Pope, right?
I am the Pope, yes.
All right.
Thank you for acknowledging.
Yes. What would you like your followers to do as they get into the Lent season here? What would you suggest that they give up instead?
Don't give up crap.
Don't give up crap. Okay.
Yes, a little something that you don't even care about so much and you miss it. Make it really hurt. Pick something that really means a lot to you.
Okay.
And then give that up. And then that would really drive home Jesus' sacrifices. I'm not going to eat chocolate. Jesus was nailed to a cross. Pick something that compares, okay?
Okay,
something real. Oh, I think I'll give up wiping my butt. No, that doesn't help. That would help.
Has anyone
ever... 40 days without wiping your butt, you're going to feel that.
Has anyone given that up that you're aware of?
No, but I like it. It just came to me. That's a good idea.
I see. Okay.
I'm going to start nailing shut all the bathrooms in the churches all over the world.
I'm not sure that's a great idea.
In fact, give up pooping. Totally.
I'm not sure that's a good idea.
You don't want to do that.
No poop for you.
You don't want to do that, Your Holiness. That's
but you
good.
All should give up something, but like bean, your bean. You should give up tweeting.
Give up tweeting for 40
excellent.
Days?
Excellent. That's a great idea.
I'm sorry.
That's a win-win for everybody.
I'm not going to do that,
Jesus
Pope,
gets his beak wet a little bit, and everyone else gets saved by your tweets.
Oh, wow, that's a great tip.
Lisa May, for example, should give up. White Zinfandel with Splenda in it. You know?
She'll die. She'll die.
Whatever crap she's drinking, she should give that up.
She does put sweetener in wine. That does happen.
Kevin should give up just talking. Just shut up. Just
what?
Be quiet. Just for 40 days.
What about all the gold that comes out of my mouth?
Well, we all got to give up something. So we got to give up moments with.
Okay.
And beer mug.
Yes, beer mug.
He's a Jew.
He is a Jew, right? Yes. Beer mug is Jewish,
don't
yes.
Don't get me started on them.
So he doesn't have to do anything then for Lent.
He has to give up breathing.
Oh, no. Why would you say something like that?
Just for 40 days.
I'm with you on that one. I think that's
Let's
necessary.
Put him underwater.
Okay.
Thanks, Pope.
That's the best idea ever.
You've been playing music for all your life.
Yeah.
Almost. Do you ever... I played a little bit of music. Not as intense as you did. I never toured or anything like that. Just... Do you ever find monotony?
Okay, good question, Beer Mug.
I do find monotony.
In that question.
In the dictionary.
In that question.
After Monopoly.
Exactly.
Why is CBS television giving away a colonoscopy, and why is Ozzy Osbourne involved?
Because CBS cares, man.
Well, Ozzy's doing. Say. I think Ozzy's doing the procedure, as far as I can tell.
I hope that's not true.
So I don't want anybody anywhere near me with
I looked
chewing.
It up.
Anyway, we'll talk about that. Plus, our friend Kevin Pereira from G4's Attack of the Show has got a phenomenal event coming up called the Leet Up. We'll tell you all about that next hour, and he'll join us as well. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
We're talking about Ozzy. Sadly, the Osbourne family's famous pet bulldog, Lola, has died.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. Lola, if you remember the Osbourne TV series, he was the dog who tore up all the sofas and peed all over the house. Mm-hmm. And
pain in the ass that dog.
So everyone's glad he's dead. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, it's,
by the
it's
way,
true.
It wasn't the dog's fault. It was the owner's fault.
Mm-hmm. The owners weren't peeing all over the house. I know that much. Well, maybe Ozzy.
Ozzy was.
Lola was 12 years old.
That's pretty good age for a bulldog.
Jack Osbourne broke the news on his own Twitter feed, telling the world that Lola was the best friend anyone could ever have. That's what I look for in a friend. Someone who will tear up my furniture and urinate in my home.
And die at 12.
Yes. Those are all things you look for in a friend. We don't do a lot of art world news here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Not
nearly enough, in my opinion.
too much, in my opinion.
I think we need to talk more about the fine arts.
All right.
And one of my favorite paintings, I'm sure it's one of yours, is Edvard Munch's The Scream.
The Scream.
You have to tell me.
Yes. You've seen it. I've been even you. It. Even you know what The Scream is.
Only because
it's that big bulbous head guy with his, he's got his Macaulay Culkin face going on, you know, he's very upset.
Right.
You may not know that there are four paintings of The Scream that Munch did.
Thanks for that info, Ralph.
One of them is going up for auction this week. Guess how much they're expecting it to sell for?
$1 million.
Why don't you...
$10 million.
Guess again.
Ten.
Why don't you eat a bag at $1 million?
Yeah. 50.
Why don't you guess again?
100.
$80 million is estimated what this painting's going to go for.
Unbelievable.
That is someone who took paint and put it on some canvas and then sold it. $80 million.
Wow.
That's what they're saying. Of the four versions, this is the most vibrant, though.
Sure.
So it's worth $80 million, says an art collector. So
remember a few years ago, Ralph, when some guys walked in off the street and walked out of the museum with The Scream? They stole it and kept it for years until it finally turned up again?
Yeah.
Amazing.
While we're talking about screaming, remember the Indiana State Fair when Sugarland was playing and the set started to just crumble down around people?
Yeah.
Well, as you can imagine, the survivors of the families... injured and killed in that stage collapse are filing a civil lawsuit.
It was a huge stage.
It was, and if you've seen the footage, it just comes tumbling down. It's like watching people next to a building, just nowhere to go, nothing they could do. Sugarland has made a statement. They are named in the lawsuit. And, you know, here's the thing about country music. They do love their fans. And you can tell by Sugarland's statement, lawyers for Sugarland saying the fans didn't get out of the way fast enough.
Are you serious?
They are blaming the people who were crushed by the scaffolding and stage for their own demise. Fans didn't get out of the way fast enough. They were not thinking about their own safety.
Doesn't this fall under the act of God thing where you can't really sue if it's not someone's
fault? The reason this is a little bit of a thorny issue is because they had a guy at the Indiana State Fair who was the one who made the decision whether the show went on or not, or whether the weather was too dangerous. And he's the one who said, I know it's kind of windy right now. I know it doesn't look good, but I think we're going to be fine. You guys go ahead and take the stage and play. Yeah. So it really, I mean, the band, it really wasn't up to them really to decide not to play.
Hmm. Plus, their fans are just
too damn slow.
Too slow.
Right. You're probably fat. Pick it up.
They're drinking. They're fat rednecks drinking out of red Solo cups. And it is an act of God. God said, you know what? I'm going to take out just a big passel of asshole country music fans. Watch this. Hey, everybody, watch this. And he just put his thumb right down there on that.
And I'm sure REO Speedwagon or somebody played the night before and it was fine.
That's
showing
right.
Showing off without a hitch.
That's
no one got hurt.
God loves REO Speedwagon.
That's what you're taking away from today's show.
But doesn't like country music. That's the point. And Minnie Driver has famously withheld the identity of her baby's daddy now for 3 years. Sort of made it a mystery. Everyone's like, who's Minnie's sperm donor?
It's
what
funny
happened
because
there?
You don't really care until she says she's not going to say.
That's why I find this story so interesting. She's finally said who it is.
Yeah.
Turns out he was a writer on the FX series The Riches that she did with Eddie Izzard.
Right.
Which I loved, by the way. It was
a great show.
Underappreciated, canceled way too soon. But it was a writer on the show. They got together. And that he is the father of the baby daddy. Of the baby, rather.
All right.
And she said she didn't say who it was sooner because she wanted to protect him and not have a rain of publicity. Well, you do that is just say, it's a writer from The Riches. When it happens, you don't keep it a super secret for 3 years and make everyone wonder who it is. That's how you get a rain of publicity.
Yeah, that's weird.
So now the mystery has been solved.
Poorly played.
Poorly played indeed.
You were on vacation last week, but Eddie Izzard was back in on the Kevin and Bean show.
Right? I was so furious that happens.
And he continues to make all of us look and feel bad about ourselves.
He's the best.
Because he says things like, yeah, I want to do some gigs in Moscow, but I'm going to take a couple of months and learn to speak fluent Russian first so I can do it in their language. That's the kind of guy he is.
He loves to perform in the native language.
Yeah, maybe I'll learn another language while I'm running my 40 marathons this year. That's him. That's Eddie Izzard.
Yeah, he needs stuff done.
He needs to stop.
He does get stuff done.
He's ruining the curve.
And Jennifer Aniston today will get her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Happens this morning at 11:30 a.m. Pacific, if you want to check it out. She'll be at 6270 Hollywood Boulevard in front of the W Hollywood Hotel. As you can imagine, the star is tied in with the publicity campaign for a new film, Wanderlust, in which she filmed many nude scenes. I don't know how much we'll see, but she was naked in a lot of the shooting. She goes, there was a lot of nudity, bottomless, topless. It was just happening.
All right.
That's where she met her new boyfriend, Justin Thoreau, by the way, on the set of that movie.
That's so hot.
Apparently, you get naked worked out for Jennifer.
Mr. Skin said at least one of the topless scenes that he was excited about has been cut from the film.
Yeah, I've heard they jettisoned
one of the
scenes.
Very sad about that.
But maybe we'll get a little something. I know she has like a four-way with a bunch of other hot chicks.
Fantastic.
That happens. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Don Pardoe, legendary announcer for Saturday Night Live for all those years, 94 years old today. Kyle MacLachlan from Dune and from Sex and the City and, of course, Twin Peaks, 53 years old. He was recently on something. I saw a
yes, he was.
Sitcom-y kind of thing. This is going to make me nuts. Why do I do this? Why do I do this? He was, it was Portlandia is what it was. He was the mayor of Portland, and they were coming up with new uniforms for the police. And he was very, very funny.
He's drawn to that kind of weird stuff.
Yes. He's 53 years old. Rachel Dratch of Saturday Night Live is 46. Jerry Ryan, 44 years old. Thomas Jane's 43. Drew Barrymore, 37 years old. James Blunt celebrates his 35th birthday. Tom Higginson of Plain White Tees is 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show, baby.
Kevin Pereira from Attack of the Show on G4 joins us in minutes here on the Kevin Bean Show. Also, Brittany Palmer from the UFC Octagon. She's the girl in the ring. Who I think Dave is going to make his move today, by the way. He's been talking about Brittany for years, hasn't he?
Yeah. It doesn't mean he's going to make his, he's not going to make any move.
That's all coming up on today's Kevin Bean Show. Right now, though, we have to talk about something that we did not discuss after the Grammys aired, but a very curious PSA, promotional announcement, ran during the Grammys that kind of caught all of us a little bit by surprise. Do we have that audio?
We do.
Ozzy?
Yeah?
Do you have a secret fantasy?
Yes. I'd like to fly to New York for a colonoscopy.
Enter the CBS Cares Colonoscopy Sweepstakes. If you win our grand prize, we'll fly to New York for 3 nights at a luxury hotel. Watch the sunrise over Central Park, then kick back, relax, and enjoy a complimentary colonoscopy.
Odd, right? That's a little strange. When I saw that, I thought, is this some sort of, oh, it's the wrong button. Is this some sort of David Letterman sketch or something? Because that's his announcer, Alan Coulter. But then apparently it was real, and apparently a viewer could actually win a free colonoscopy in New York. And I thought, what's the deal here? So we got to get our friend Ozzy on the phone and find out more about what's happening. Mr. Osborne, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hello.
What's up, Beepy?
I'm at the hospital. New York Presbyterian Hospital.
Oh, you're having your colonoscopy right now?
Well, we're working with the hospitals that we're going to be doing the colonoscopy in the CBS Cares Colonoscopy Sweepstakes.
Okay, but what are you doing? I thought you were just promoting it. They hired you to do the commercial, I thought.
They did. It's a very important procedure, and Sharon and I are 100% behind it.
Right.
Uh-huh. Behind it.
Right.
Because Sharon's life was saved by a colonoscopy, you know, so they discovered she had a colon cancer.
Yes, so it's been a very personal cause for you. I understand that.
So to celebrate, I'm officially changing my name to Assy Asborn.
I'm not sure that's the best plan.
Yeah. Assy Asborn! Sharon and Assy!
But I still don't understand why we're not talking to you at your house.
It's
why
Ozzy
are you
there
at the hospital? Yes, no, you're Ozzy.
Oh, I'm Ozzy.
Right. Or Assy, depending.
Assy Asborn.
But you're at the hospital. You're talking to doctors? What are you doing there?
No, I'm showing. We're filming a new PSA.
Oh, I see.
About how simple it is, a procedure with your own colonoscopy.
Okay, all right.
And so I'm getting a colonoscopy right now.
Oh, no.
While I'm talking to you, that's how easy it is.
Okay, but
if you win, we'll fly to New York and stick a camera in your ass.
But my understanding of the colonoscopy is that you are out. They anesthetize you before they do any of that stuff with your butt.
Usually,
right?
They do for regular people. Mm-hmm. But it turns out I have done so many drugs over the years, my body is permanently numb.
So you don't even need anesthesia?
So I can be completely awake during any procedure.
Oh, wow, that's
fantastic. And I can watch my own colonoscopy on the TV.
But you don't
want to... There's a TV camera on your butt!
You don't want to watch that, do you?
It's,
I mean,
it's fascinating.
No.
It is fascinating to see the human body from the inside and the things they discover in your colonoscopy.
Okay.
I'm watching it. I'm about halfway through the colon right now, my own colon.
Okay.
Wow. What's happening?
That's a seagull.
You have a seagull up there?
I have no idea. What a shock it is.
It's a good thing you're having a colonoscopy.
I hope there's some crabs or something up there for him to eat. I don't want him to starve.
Is that a food truck?
There's a Mexican lowrider in my ass.
Oh, a lowrider. Okay.
I hope he doesn't do that jumpy jump thing.
No, that would be painful.
Oh, you get a rupture. What?
Is that a donkey?
There is an ass in my ass. How ironic.
Well, it's a good thing that you named yourself Assy, then.
It
because...
is. I've got several asses.
Right.
Oh, Chinese firecrackers.
Firecrackers are up there?
I was wondering where I left those.
What was that?
A baby?
What was that one?
That was a cat.
There's a cat in my ass.
Wait, Omar's the doctor?
Yes, I have Dr. Omar doing the procedure.
Don't let him touch you. Oh, no.
Don't stick tadpoles up your butt.
No,
because they will grow into frogs, it turns out. I have frog in my ass.
I've had no desire.
No.
All right.
How is there this much room in your butt?
There's a high-speed chase going on in my colon.
Oh, my God.
They catch him before he gets to my rectum.
This is going to be the best video ever. I can't wait to see this.
Rectum, darling, you killed him.
Okay.
That song had a lot of cowbell in it the first time I heard it, and all these times later, it still has just as much cowbell. They have not taken any of the cowbell out. It is cowbelly, isn't it?
It is. Yes, Bean.
It has not changed a lot of cowbell.
The cowbell levels.
What I'm saying. Hey, Kevin Pereira is here from Attack of the Show on G4, ladies and gentlemen. What's going on, Kevin?
All right. Thank you.
Good to see you, man. How are you?
Wave. I am good. Good to be here. Thank you guys for having me back.
Well, we're always happy to catch up with you. You've been very kind to us over the years, coming on, talking about new electronics and talking about Attack of the Show stuff and Comic-Con, everything like that. But you've got something new that I'm very excited about. Not excited enough to actually get on a plane and fly to it, but leetup.com is the website. LEETUP.com. Terrible name.
Now,
what does the name mean?
Before
Kevin?
You tell us what the name means, I would like to tell you what the voting process was like in the office on this pitch.
Okay.
Dave, the King of Mexico, says, "Hey, Kevin Pereira is doing lead up."
And we were like, "Oh, you got to say it like Dave would say it."
Oh, Kevin Pereira is doing lead up, and we said, "What's lead up?" And he would say, "Let oop ease people." And we said, "Forget it. We like Kevin."
Then you shocked him and put him back in his cage.
Just say yes. We'll have Kevin in, and then we'll ask him what it is.
Yeah, he'll explain it to us. Right.
Well, great pitch, first of all.
Yeah, that's it was well done.
Better than the pitch I gave when this thing got funding.
What is LEET up? LEET.
Yeah, like being elite, or L337, as a hacker would say back in the day. A 12-year-old hacker would say while crashing someone's AOL account. Being LEET meant you were like in, and you got it. You were a hacker.
I mean, it's short for elite.
Yeah,
but
it's
not
short for
really
elite.
Short.
It's no, not at all.
Pretty much same length.
Not at all. We go out of our way to spell things the wrong way. So it was a throwback to being elite as a hacker. And so as a joke, we're like, oh, let's throw a gathering for all those elite folks out there. So whether it's games, technology, podcasting, music, whatever you love, if you consider yourself part of the elite crowd of that scene, you should be at this event.
Okay. Okay. So how come you don't have a podcast yet, Kevin?
I don't, you know, I have kind of a daily live television thing that I do, which to me fulfills the sort of podcasty role.
Right.
Occasionally,
you say everything you want to say, basically.
Yeah, or I say, you know, an abridged version of what I want to say, and that's normally good enough. No one needs to hear me ramble on for any longer than I normally do.
All right, so people come to the lead up. It's Thursday night, March 1st at Club Nokia. Now, the VIP tickets are already sold out, but there are still general admission tickets available for only $16.50, by the way, which sounds like a great deal when you hear the lineup of who's going to be there. Tell us about what's going to be happening that night at the Nokia.
Crazy lineup. So when you walk in, there will be DJs playing, full bar. There's going to be an old classic arcade arcade set up there with a bunch of games you can go and play, RC toys, all sorts of weird Nerf guns flying around. We really want to make a nerd party in the sort of main area at Club Nokia. But then on stage, we've got VJ Mike Realm spinning a nice set.
He's amazing.
Yeah, he's an awesome performer, yeah. So he's going to really destroy that place. We've got two different panels, which are basically podcasts that I'm doing on stage, but we're going to bring the crowd up for elements of it. But we've got Kevin Smith, Chris Hardwick, Doug Benson, Greg Fitzsimmons, Jimmy Pardo is going to do some stand-up comedy, Felicia Day, Alex Albrecht, Epic Mealtime, Ask a Ninja. The list goes on and on. And
did you say Ask a Ninja?
Ask a Ninja is coming back, yeah. And perhaps, because it is his 18th birthday, an appearance by Justin Bieber.
Perhaps. That's how you sell tickets.
It might be myself in purple jeans with an ill-fitting wig, but Justin Bieber is going to be on our stage.
That would be better.
Yeah, and that's what we got.
Felicia Day on stage, she will be the only woman within, what, 100 miles of this event?
Yeah, we think around 300 miles or so. If a bomb were to go off, the nerd community would lose its sole bastion of hope. No, Felicia's been very kind to go there. We're actually having cosplayers come down as well. I think we've got about 25 confirmed so far. So there will be girls there dressed up as various Street Fighter characters and Marvel and DC folks roaming around to take photos and hang out. So there will be women.
They had to provide the women.
Right, but none there of their own free will. Right.
No. We are dragging them all. No, actually, they're not being paid. We put out a call to cosplayers and said, come on out. We're going to give out some prizes for the best costume.
So you lied.
Yeah, we absolutely lied.
You've dealt with the cosplayers on Attack of the Show before.
Yeah.
What is the primary motivation for the people who dress up like that?
You know, it's mostly daddy issues. Mm-hmm. I think it's daddy issues, but if you grew up reading graphic novels, now you're a cosplayer. It's okay. You know, that sort of attention that I can't get in the real world, I'll put on a skirt and take some photos online. And yeah, and Twitter loves me. No, I don't know. I think I actually have a deep love and respect for the cosplay community now, because I see that as with any sport or hobby, there's sort of different factions, and
right.
Some of the hardcore cosplayers are so passionate about getting their costumes right that they spend all year prepping and sewing and needles and thread and crazy hairstyles and makeup techniques and whatnot to get a certain look of a character down to the, that's the slightly off shade of purple. I can't even take this costume out in public.
And when you say respect, you mean laugh at.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, if there's a take a number system in my green room, they're going to go right to the front of the line because they spent so much time on their costume.
But isn't your event happening March 1st? Isn't it kind of throwing their whole calendar out of whack? Because ordinarily they don't have to be done with their costume until Comic-Con. Now they got to be done like 2 months early to come to your thing.
You'd be surprised. There are a million different conventions for which you can show off your cleavage if you're a cosplayer.
Round.
Yeah, there's Anime Expo and Wizard Cons, and I'm sure there's a Magic the Gathering happening at a local Shakey's Pizza that they would love to have a hot sorceress at. So there's actually multiple events throughout the year, and there's actually conventions dedicated solely to cosplay that happen.
Wow.
And they're international. They have different teams that go and compete in Japan. It's quite the scene.
This is the voice of our friend Kevin Pereira here on the Kevin Bean Show. We're talking about the Leet Up, L-E-E-T-U-P. LeetUp.com is the website if you want to get tickets. General admission seats still available for March. I shouldn't say seats, I guess. It's just admission. There's no sitting, really.
Yeah,
right?
We're all going to be in just one big pile. Yeah. We're going to throw down some tarp in case things get messy and hand out some ponchos.
Oh.
And I'm going to splatter some watermelons on stage.
Thursday night, March 1st at Club Nokia. Anything hands-on besides video games and cosplay girls that people are going to actually be able to touch and or play with?
I don't necessarily want to bill the cosplay girls as hands-on. I think hover hands are more appropriate.
Hover, right.
For some of those. Yeah, we've got some things that I can't announce. But one is I'm a huge nerd, obviously, and I love Buckyballs. If you ever play with them, they're the little shiny metallic, almost earth magnet-like balls that you can use to build three-dimensional sculptures.
Right.
We've got hundreds of thousands of them, and we're going to have a buckyball building competition happening in one portion of the club.
Okay.
Someone's going to slip and break their neck, but the liability's not on me.
Right.
So we've got a little zone where that's going on. We're going to have a sort of red carpet thing for the people that are attending because we want them to feel like they're the stars. So they can walk down that, and we'll have some crazy characters on that carpet. And we've got an old-timey... Well, it's a Twitter station that will essentially print out the tweets that you send like someone was kind of handwriting them. It's a very weird kind of artsy thing. But
so you tweet it, and then it goes back to what if you wrote it in crayon?
Sort of, yeah. Like a papyrus scroll comes out, and it's a very dot matrix printed. We've got a bunch of wild stuff that's going to be happening.
What were you smoking when you came up with this?
What wasn't I smoking?
All right,
at this point, I don't even know.
We have to take a break. Come back more with Kevin. But we do have tickets right now if you want to go to the lead up. If you are nerdtastic and this sounds like fun to you, Club Nokia at LA Live on Thursday night, March 1st. You can go to Ticketmaster.com to buy them, or you can pick up the phone and call right now at 1-800-520-1067. We'll take five winners right now here on the World Famous Garage.
I'd like for them to put them on hold, though, so that we can talk to the five people that are calling to go.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I have some questions for them. So we'll do that when we get back.
Kevin Pereira in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show from Attack of the Show on G4 and now so much more. Boy, you're a hardworking dude. You got a lot of stuff going on right now, Kevin.
Yeah, something like that. Something
including
like that.
Including Lead Up, which is happening on Thursday, March 1st at the Club Nokia. What's the one-line slug that you sell this to people who haven't heard about it? Maybe there are people who just tuned in during that last song.
I say, it is a nerd carnival. Come on down to our little nerd carnival. Have a good time.
Here's what it says in the paperwork. Basically, think of Lead Up as pop culture super abundance wrapped up into a single evening of incredible brilliance.
Yes. Well, whoever wrote that, fire them immediately. I have no idea who wrote that. Is that in quotes and does it have my name next to it?
Does not know.
No. The idea, again, real quick for those who didn't hear it, is it's a big party under one roof. So you've got podcasting, games, technology showcases, cosplayers running around. It's going to be a giant party with a lot of big celebrities on stage.
Ticketmaster.com. Tickets available for general admission, just $16.50. K-Rock's Kevin, you wanted these people to be put on hold when they called in. Who do you want to talk to?
I just figured I'd like to find out just exactly what it is they're interested in.
Let's talk to Henry. Let's get him on. He's a computer tech. He's online, too. Interestingly enough, Kevin Pereira, all of the people called for these tickets are dudes.
Look, Sal the Engineer might be the hottest the hottest Chun-Li cosplayer we've ever met, so let's not prejudge here.
Hey, Henry.
Hey, what's up, guys?
You're a computer tech.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
What is it that sounds good about the Lead Up?
The games.
The games.
Toys.
Yeah, we'll take that.
The old school arcade games that Kevin described, is that what you're talking about or something else?
That, a little bit of the girls, a little bit of all of it.
Do you have a time limit on, because there's going to be long lines for those games and there's going to be some fat dude up in front that's like at level 7,000 and everybody's going to be going, come on!
He's leveled way up as a gamer, yes. No, the idea is that we're going to have enough experiential zones there that if you are not so, let's say you're not a huge fan of whatever's happening on stage, whether that's the VJ showcase or the panel that's happening, which I can't imagine you wouldn't be a fan, but if you're not, then great. Then you can wander around and experience everything else. So we think that it'll be a good mix.
Will there be something on stage all the time?
We're gonna have constantly, I mean, the doors are at 7 at 7:45, visuals start happening and madness, and there might even be a t-shirt cannon filled with bacon at some point for epic mealtime.
Love it.
Yeah, it's gonna get pretty wild in there.
I love it. Thank you, Henry. We'll put you back on hold to get your information. I love that Kevin Smith, Chris Hardwick, Greg Fitzsimmons, and Doug Benson are all going to be at the same place at the same time, four of who have great podcasts. I hope this event is going to be available as a podcast.
That's sort of the goal, is to make, I've been fortunate enough to be invited as a guest on many of those podcasts, and they're such good friends of mine, and I love them dearly, and so I wanted to sort of do the aggregate podcast. Like,
nice.
What if we were all in one room at the same time?
And it's like the Avengers of podcasting.
I'll take that. I'll absolutely take
that. You should take that.
Whatever that thing said about a superabundance of a burrito wrapped in a tortilla of nerdy or whatever the hell, cross that line out. New press release. The Avengers of podcasting.
Yeah. Now, honestly, you're all going to be on the stage at the same time?
Absolutely. Right. I mean, I'll be moderating and hosting that panel, so
good,
I'll bring people
that
out. But it's going to be a whole bunch of talking over each other.
Let me ask you this, because you tweeted this a few days ago. You were at a production meeting, I guess, for Lead Up, occurring right now. And here's the list that you tweeted for the production meeting. And I hope I can say this. You tweeted it, though. American flag, check, right? Eagles.
Yeah.
Because you can't have an event without eagles.
We have enough radius for them to roam. Yeah, motorcycles,
good,
of course.
Motorcycles. Football.
Yep.
Not sure what you're doing with a football. Okay. Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
Because you love all things bacon,
they
right?
They shoot him out of a cannon.
Yeah.
Right. Is what he just said.
The bacon strip.
Yeah, yeah.
That's for dogs, right? Bacon rain. Bacon bacon bucket filled with vegan bacon.
Yes.
And here's my favorite for the production meeting. And I don't know if this has actually made the final cut. Parachuting Twinkies or donuts from the rafters.
So let me take a step back and defend everything that you just said.
Let me defend that.
Well, that's what. First of all, Kevin Smith does a football trick that is much like the ping pong ball trick that you've seen at Pat Pong clubs.
Oh wow,
it is amazing. Okay. He's going to do that.
Kevin Smith doesn't have a vagina. How can he do the same trick?
It's a completely different trick. You know, with enough astral glide, anything is possible, guys. To be clear, that's not like the production for the entire event. event. That is the production for about 30 seconds on stage when Harley from Epic Mealtime comes out.
Wow.
So that is the sort of prop list for
Epic
what happens. That is Epic Mealtime related. Okay. And there may or may not be Twinkies parachuting from balconies like toy soldiers at some point.
Oh my God.
This is a night.
I should point out that we haven't asked permission to do any of that at Club Nokia. We were going on the ask for forgiveness model.
That's the only model to go with.
Spoiler.
Otherwise, they'll always say no.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, we're almost out of time here, Kevin, but this event does sound awesome. March 1st, it's a Thursday night at the Club Nokia. Doors open at 7, as you said. General admission tickets available for $16.50 at leadup.com or go to ticketmaster.com. Really does sound like a lot of fun, and I hope that it's a big success. I hope you guys make money on it, and I hope it turns into an annual event because this thing could go places, man.
Thank you. I really, really appreciate it.
If it's a big success, are you going to tour like you were talking about, maybe?
If it breaks even, the goal is to tour.
Just breaking even.
Honestly, I mean, for the first one especially, I mean, to be completely candid, if it breaks even, we're psyched. We'll be set. And the idea is to take it to cities that don't normally have shows like this. LA could have a show like this anytime.
Yes.
We want to bring this to Wichita Falls, Texas, and Peoria, and Chicago, and maybe Detroit if I can afford enough Kevlar.
Which is doubtful.
Yeah.
Kevin Pereira, thanks very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Bye now.
The article in the LA Times earlier this week is called Unmasking the Academy. Oscar voters are overwhelmingly white and male. Like the rest of the world, you guys. Right?
That answers so many questions.
And most of them are over 100. That's
most of them are over 100. That's absolutely accurate. So we are going to talk to John Horn, one of the writers of that thrilling expose in the Los Angeles Times.
Is John white? Is John white and male?
We'll have to ask
him. Think he's not even qualified to write this article. If he is,
don't
you?
Yeah, I don't want to hear from him. I want to know
why don't you get a black 18-year-old to write this article?
Lesbians have to say.
Exactly. Anyway, we'll talk to Mr. Horton coming up here on the Kevin Bean Show. Oh, and did we mention from the UFC's Octagon, Brittany Palmer is going to be joining us. It's also in the new Playboy magazine, if you're into that sort of thing. Rob is here now with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I've got tickets to give away. Tickets to the red carpet world premiere of Project X.
Yay! Looks great.
This happens at the Grauman's Chinese Theater on February the 29th. How cool, we get a 29th of February this year, huh? Is everybody excited? Leap year, come on!
Yay.
That's what I'm talking about. Project X is in theaters everywhere Friday, March the 2nd, but you will not only see it before everyone else, you'll be at the red carpet world premiere. You've seen the trailers for this film, it looks awesome. Three seemingly unassuming high school seniors trying to make a name for themselves before they leave school decide to throw the party to end all parties. And it looks like the party to end the world, pretty much, from what I've seen in the footage. Bad things happen.
The house does not fare
well. Explosions, flames, deaths, dogs jumping on trampolines. It's just madness.
Looks great.
Madness. If you'd like to go, 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call right now. First five callers you get through, you'll get a pair of tickets not only to the red carpet world premiere, but I'm sure the party afterwards, too. So I'm not sure of that at all.
I was going to ask you that.
Usually when they say red carpet premiere, you get to go to the whole schmagegi, which is the screening as well as the party. Does not say here in my fine print that that's the case.
I would not promise
so
it then.
Don't get your hopes up, people. Okay. That's what I'm saying. You just get to walk the red carpet and see it. Now, I'm not even promising you get to walk the red carpet. Sometimes they take you around the end of the red carpet. You don't
might
get to actually
get to
walk
see
on
it.
You don't
might
even
be
get
there.
To see it.
You
I think you get to stay in the lobby.
I can guarantee this much.
You can hear it.
You will see the movie. At somewhere in the vicinity of where they're having the red carpet world premiere.
That maybe the next day when it opens. Maybe
that,
then.
No, that night. I assure you, there will be viewing of the movie. This makes me sick to my stomach. Because my family is stupid and bad.
Why?
Because this guy's family is awesome and cool.
Why?
His name is Michael Rohrer. He is in Oxnard, California. And his great aunt, Ruby. Gotta love it, great aunt Ruby.
Sure.
She always said to him and his brother when they were little kids, you know, you boys love those superheroes and comic books. Someday when I'm dead, you can have my collection of comic books. And they said, shut up, Great Aunt Ruby, you're old. No one cares what you have to say. You smell like talcum powder and urine.
Did they tell her that?
That's what they said to her.
That's rough.
Are you reading into this article, or does it actually say that in the piece you're reading?
It says it. It's the facts.
That's real talk right there, man.
Turns out Ruby's husband, Great Uncle Billy, collected comics in his youth and stashed them in a basement closet. Well, Great Aunt Ruby passed away. And so they were started cleaning out her stuff, and they ran across the comic book collection. Oh, let me see what we got here. Oh, Action Comics number one, first appearance of Superman. Check. Detective 27.
First appearance of Batman? Check.
Sounds expensive.
Captain America number 2? Check. Are these all in great shape? Yeah. Turns out this collection has 44 of the top 100 issues of a comic's golden age. They are putting it up for auction with the Heritage Auction Company. It looks like they will be making somewhere north of $2 million for the comic book.
Wow! They would have been nicer to
Great Aunt Ruby. Great Aunt Ruby.
Unbelievable.
She thought she just had some funny books to give the kids someday, and it turns out that Great Uncle Billy had a pretty good eye from the late 30s, early 40s,
wow,
and picked out some of the most important comic books in history, and these guys will be able to cash in and make big money off of it.
So basically, these old people that are now dead had $2 million in a cardboard box in their attic or in their basement or something like that that just sat there decade after decade.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is that unbelievable to think about?
They didn't even know. And this is one of those cases comic book experts around the world are flipping out because everyone thought that all of those kind of comics had already been discovered. You know, they change hands from time to time. They'll go up for auction and they get passed back and forth from collectors. But you rarely find a really good condition Action Comics number 1 just sitting in anybody's basement anymore. It just doesn't happen.
Everybody kind of keeps tabs on where they are.
Yeah, they think these have all been discovered. Yeah. It's very rare when one of these things is unearthed. So exciting news.
For that guy.
For that guy and for his family. And my stupid family never gives me old comic books. My great aunt, you know what she gave me?
What?
Fallen Arches. That's what I inherited from her.
But your daughter's going to have the world when you give her... Oh, wait, yours isn't worth anything.
That's not true, sir. I have a quite hefty collection of classic comics myself, as well as, you know, a lot of toys.
Right.
You know, there's a new TV show called Toy Hunters?
Oh, there's can't
Toy Hunters.
Nope.
Where these guys hunt down classic toys.
Nope.
Yep. That are very valuable.
Nope.
I just found out about it. I haven't even seen one yet. Did someone just give me the heads up? So I got to look into it and see what's going on.
No! No!
Bean, you'll be happy to know that they just announced Weird Al Yankovic will be doing a guest appearance on 30 Rock this season.
Yay!
Bean likes Weird Al too much. I'm an Al fan.
Yeah.
But Bean really does like him too much.
He worships him.
The more I meet Al, and the more I know about Al, the more I enjoy Al.
He's great. He deserves it. He deserves to be called the best human ever.
He's
best human.
Well, best human ever.
I don't know about best human ever.
His career is sort of just even more so heating up lately. It seems like he's doing a lot more appearances, and he's getting a lot more attention.
He tweeted a photo just last week of him on the set of 30 Rock with Tina Fey. I was very excited because I also love her and love that show.
Oh, sorry, Ralph, for the old news. Sorry, Al fan number one.
While you were gone, we made a little bit of progress on our attempt to get Weird Al at least in consideration to play the Super Bowl halftime show in 2013.
Yeah, that's just stupid.
Had on a writer from the New York Daily News who also
like
is,
Alan, but that's just stupid.
Is going with it. It would be a great halftime show, and it needs to happen. There's petitions all over Facebook. You can join and try to get the word to the NFL. This is something we'd like them to consider.
I can't think of a worse place to see Weird Al perform his music than the middle of the Super Bowl.
Why would you even say that?
Tough venue, you mean.
You would
tough
never
venue,
want to
no
miss
paying
that.
Attention.
Tough
it's
venue.
All over the place, and nobody cares. Everybody's out eating and flushing toilets and stuff.
Just right, let me ask you this. Passion. You got to be careful
I
with
understand,
this.
But it's just, it's a bad idea.
Would you be more or less excited to see Weird Al than Madonna, for instance, at the halftime show?
Well, of course, Weird Al over Madonna, but it's
well,
like saying, would you like a kick to the groin, or would you just like a knitting needle in your eye? I mean...
Well, Al is neither of those things. Al is all good.
But at the Super Bowl would be wildly inappropriate and not very effective, I don't think.
You couldn't be more wrong.
Except that I'm
this
right.
This needs to happen.
Except
this
the fact that I'm right. That's the only thing that keeps me from being wrong, I think, is my
right. The fact that you're right?
Yeah.
This needs to happen. This would be the best halftime show ever. You want to go back to the golden days of 2010 when the Black Eyed Peas performed?
Yes, because they were from Tron, and one of them has a metal head.
That's true.
That was awesome.
He's got a robot head.
He's a robot head. I like that. More robots. That's what I'm saying, doing the halftime show. And you know, we haven't seen in a long time, a good old-fashioned mall tour. We're getting one.
Of a singer?
No, for a movie cast.
Oh.
This one's for a movie cast. You know, here's the thing. They're trying to tap into the unbridled type of affection that Twilight fans have for their books and movies.
Right.
With the Hunger Games phenomenon. They're trying to whip them up into a needless frenzy.
I haven't read the books, but this movie looks great.
So they're taking the Hunger Games kids on the old mall tour stops. Jennifer Lawrence, Josh Hutcherson, Liam Hemsworth will all be doing a week-long mall tour around the world to promote the movie beginning March the 3rd. Here's the date for all you diehard Mockingjays.
Mockingjays?
I know what Mockingjays
are. Apparently the Mockingjays are the Hunger Games fans.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like the parrot heads for Jimmy Buffett.
All right.
Mockingjays.
Mockingjays.
Santa Monica, California, right here, our own backyard, March 3rd. Boom. Atlanta, Georgia on the 6th. Chicago and Phoenix on the 7th. That's a bad travel day.
Wow.
No kidding.
They must be splitting them up.
Miami and Dallas on the 8th. Also
maybe
a bad travel day.
Travel agent.
Can they find something closer to a hub?
One at 7 p.m., one at 2 a.m.
Minneapolis, Minnesota. I bet that's at that Mall of the Americas. That's a great mall.
Sure.
Remember the short-lived Mall of America's West we had out of here?
Oh, yeah. I sure do. That was very popular.
That place is great.
And Seattle, Washington, Bean, you can go check out the Hunger Games cast there on March 10th in your neck of the woods. So there you
I
go.
Like that Jennifer Lawrence a whole lot.
She's the real deal right there.
She's a good thing, but that's too many people to wade through.
But this looks good because it's the Running Man for kids.
Sure.
It's like Nick Jr.'s Running Man. It's like they put kids on television and make them kill each other.
This looks awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty gripping.
Awesome. Today's celebrity birthdays, Don Pardo is 94 years old today. Speaking of Nick Jr., the Weird Al, watching Yo Gabba Gabba with the daughter, Olivia, the other day. Mm-hmm. Who pops up on my screen? Yo Gabba Gabba, Weird Al. Weird Al's on Yo Gabba.
There he is.
He was the ringmaster of the circus episode.
He's
one
everywhere.
Of the best episodes of Yo Gabba Gabba, in my opinion.
He's a part of anything that's good.
Easy. Don Pardo's 94.
I'll only watch porn with Weird Al in it, for instance.
Wow, that just changed everything.
Kyle MacLachlan's 53 years old today. Speaking of porn, don't ever ask to see Kevin Pereira's cell phone.
Ever.
Ever.
Do not ask.
Do not look to see the photos that are on his cell phone.
Really?
You will instantly regret it and more than likely take your own life.
I'd like to suggest that you do ask him to
see
those.
No, I'm saying don't.
I'm saying you'll enjoy it greatly.
Rachel Dratch from Saturday Night Live is 46 years old. Jerry Ryan.
Kevin has a chip or something in his body that when he dies, it automatically like signals his cell phone to delete, delete, delete so his parents don't have to find it.
Jerry Ryan's 44 years old. Thomas Jane's 43. Drew Barrymore celebrates 37 years old today. We haven't heard from Duane today, by the way. He usually likes to sing a happy birthday to Drew Barrymore.
That's true. Yeah, that's right.
James Blunt, 35. Tom Higginson of Plain White Tees celebrates 33 years on this beautiful planet of ours. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
K-Rock's countdown to Coachella is on. Because how would you ever know when Coachella was coming if you didn't have guys on the radio to tell you? 51 days from right now, Coachella begins for 2012, by the way. You can be caller 106.7 and win a pair of three-day passes this afternoon at 5 o'clock with our man Stryker. Every day this week on K-Rock at 5 p.m., you win tickets to go to Coachella.
It sold out shockingly quick. I remember thinking, wow, you know, I figure, you know, you have, I don't know, a couple of weeks at least to buy tickets if you'd like to. It sold out the first day, both weekends.
Has it done that before?
I don't think so.
And this is the first time they've ever done two weekends, too. So it was insane that it seemed like it sold out just as fast as if there were one weekend. Now, let me ask you this, Kevin. This countdown may be useful for a guy like you who needs to pace himself with his drinking. Because if you know, I mean, if you have a guy every day telling you how many days as we get closer, you know, it gets to be 30 days, gets to be 25 days, then you start what? Either drinking more to get prepared for Coachella weekend or pulling back so that you're ready. What do you
do? No, you have to get prepared. You have to start getting your tolerance up more.
So you don't get like more sleep and stuff so that you can power through? You give yourself less of everything?
Yes.
So it's like running a marathon. You run 12 miles and the next day you run 13 and the next day 40. So you just drink more leading up to it.
Correct.
See.
And then that weekend you don't have to sleep and you can drink endlessly.
Nice.
Excellent.
That's my plan.
51 days is where we're at. Great article. I heard about it on the national news a couple of nights ago. They came out and they said Los Angeles Times had done an undercover investigation unmasking the Academy. Who are the people who vote for the Academy Awards? And, of course, this is very timely, especially with the ceremony being this Sunday night. We really wanted to find out more about this. And if it matters, what was discovered? And John Horn is one of the writers for the Los Angeles Times who worked on the piece. John, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
I'm very good. Thanks for having me.
Sure. First of all, you are an old white man, so I shouldn't care what you think, right? I mean, that's the gist of this thing, right?
Exactly. Although not quite as old as the Academy voters.
Before we get to that, was this difficult to find this information out?
Well, it was, and there was a team of about a dozen of us, and we spent 8 months working on it, and we would contact Academy voters by any means necessary, email, phone, Facebook, LinkedIn, you name it, just to find not only how old they are, whether or not they were white. I mean, sometimes, you know, you get somebody named Tony, you don't know if it's a man or a woman.
Right.
So it was a lot of legwork, 8 months of reporting by a team of a dozen reporters.
Oh my.
So what was the purpose of the investigation in the first place? Why were you, John, so curious about who votes for the Academy Awards each year?
Well, setting aside for a minute how big the Oscars are, you know, they're second probably only to the Super Bowl in terms of television audience. They are, you know, Hollywood's determination of what is the best picture of the year. There's long been a suspicion that the Academy is a bastion of old white men. In fact, Sony last year thought Social Network, the Facebook movie, lost because Academy voters didn't relate to it. So we said, okay, this is the theory that the Academy is old, white, and male. Let's put some real numbers on it. Let's find out if the theory is right, and let's test the hypothesis.
And what did you come up with?
Well, imagine Richard Blade, double his age, and he'd still be a young Oscar voter.
Wow! Really?
There's a flashback reference right there.
Man!
So in other words, if you're an Oscar voter, are you an Oscar voter for life? It doesn't ever expire, even when you leave the industry.
You are, and there's two interesting findings. One is the Academy is 94% white, 77% male, and the median age is 62. 2%. 2% of the Academy is younger than 40.
And wow, hold on. 2% is 2%. Under 40.
And more than half is 60 or older.
So that would translate, if I understand, John, to, let's take an example of one of the most popular movies ever made, The Hangover, okay?
Yeah.
That is never going to get nominated for an Academy Award, partly because it's a comedy, but partly because that's not a movie made for people over 50 or over 60.
Well,
I guarantee that 100% of people under 40 loved that movie.
No, and I think you can make the same argument this year about Bridesmaids. A lot of people thought it was going to, you know, get a Best Picture nomination, or Shame, which is an NC-17 movie about a guy who has sex all the time. I mean, I think there are certain kinds of movies that the Academy does and does not like. And if you believe, and again, I don't know how true this is, that older people vote for movies about older people, then it's a natural. I mean, you could look at The Artist this year. It's a silent movie. I mean, there may be a number of Academy voters who actually made silent movies.
Yeah, they're like, this is right in our wheelhouse. This is perfect.
And you bring up it. In the piece, John, and you make an excellent point. I mean, I guess it's a guess, but this incredibly loud and dangerously close, or whatever that Tom Hanks stuff is called. I mean, that's a movie that doesn't appeal to any young people, even people who are ripe for a great 9/11 story. By all accounts, it is not a very successful movie. But you point out in the article that, you know, that's the type of story that resonates with people trying to be a dad and everything like that. That might be an older person thing.
Exactly. And as you mentioned, the Academy is membership for life. So if you come in as a teenager, well, you don't usually come in as a teenager, but you come in as a young adult, you're going to be in through your, you know, 60s, 70s, and 80s. We found one Oscar voter who is in his hundreds. We found an Oscar voter who was in her 90s. And the other thing, and this is, you know, we didn't dwell on this in the main story, but we talked about it in a separate story, is in the 80s, there were a lot of people who came in who really didn't have a great distinguished body of film work. Kevin, your favorite musical artist, Meatloaf, is an Oscar voter.
Oh, great. That's great.
And Bean, I know your favorite actor of all time is Eric Estrada from Chips.
So well, Ponch, he certainly deserves a vote, right?
Ponch is an Oscar voter, and the two living members of Charlie's Angels, Jacqueline Smith and Kate Jackson, are both Oscar
voters. All right,
voters.
Let me ask you a question. If you make a movie, you're not automatically invited? You have to have a body of work, and then they have to think about it?
Correct. I mean, you have to have some body of work. If you are nominated for an Oscar, you don't automatically get in, but your name gets thrown in the hat, and they talk about you. An Academy member can propose you for membership. The Academy staff can propose you for membership. There are a couple different ways in, but you do have to have a body of work. And the Academy's been trying over the last several years to bring in younger people. The problem is, as you're tightening the restrictions, as you're trying not to have another Eric Estrada in, and you're trying to diversify the membership, it becomes harder to expand the diversity of the Oscar vote.
Yeah. They need to go through, first of all, and just scratch off about 25% of that. Anyone over 100,
do that, John? There's no, I mean, it's a private organization. If they decided they were going to fire 1,000 of the voters now and replace them with newer people, they could, right?
They could. There'd probably be, you know, you'd see a lot of people in wheelchairs, you know, marching down Wilshire Boulevard.
They can't march. They can't march. They'd have a wheelchair.
They'd have to roll.
A lot of people, thank you very much. You see a lot of people with walkers. An honorary society. It rewards the body work. The Academy is very specific about this, and I have to agree with them.
All right,
once you're in, you're in for life.
Let me ask you about this. Do they care about these statistics and trying to make it better?
Well, what they say is this is old news, and what they're doing kind of belies that conclusion. So, yes, they do care. They wish they were more diverse. Their argument, and I think it's a legitimate problem, is that they are only reflecting the industry itself. I'll give you one more statistic. 98% of the Academy voters who are in the executive branch, so these are the people who are running studios, greenlighting movies, are white. So if 98% of the people making decisions in Hollywood are white, and most of those are men, then you're not going to get a lot of diversity coming up through the ranks. So the Academy can only honor the people who are getting jobs, and the people who are getting jobs are not generally people of color or women.
Got it. This is the voice of John Horn in our remaining moments from the Los Angeles Times. You can and should see this story on the LA Times website called Unmasking the Academy. One final question for you, John, and that is, are they stuck with this 5,765 voting member number, or could they change the odds just by inviting 800 new people to join of the types of people we're discussing here today?
They could. I mean, the real issue is, it's like any kind of affirmative action question, is if you're trying to diversify your membership, is it a finger on the scale? In other words, are you overweighting to people to expand your membership? And by doing so, do you necessarily lower the standards? I mean, it's a question that any organization, a corporate board, a university, maybe your staff has weighed. You know, do you give a slightly bigger benefit to somebody who may not be as qualified as the white man up for the same position? So I don't know how they're going to change it. They want to change it, but it's going to take not just a couple of years, but a number of years.
So in my betting pool for Sunday night, I'm going to have to remember this study, though.
Yeah, I would take the argument because, as I said, you know, a couple Oscar voters were probably in the silence, so they're going to vote for it.
Well, color and sound are for pussies, let's face it. <Come on. laughs> All right, LATimes.com is where you can find Mr. Horn's work. Thanks so much for coming on. We enjoyed the conversation.
Thanks for your time.
The point I'm trying to make with all of this, people, is that I hate drugs. I hate them. And based upon what I have seen, you all don't quite hate them as much as I do.
Well, there's actually some truth to that. But here's the story that we want to talk about today, is people sometimes get caught with drugs for dumb reasons. You got to know how to stash, right?
That's what Dr. Drew always says.
that's his advice. He's a doctor. You have to listen to him. You have to know how to hide your stuff. Come on.
There's a guy in Florida who they caught because a tipster called the sheriff and said, hey, this guy has $100 worth of crack cocaine on him. So they searched him, and they found some in his nose, but that's all. And then they took him to the jail, and then they said, squat and cough. And, and then they found a whole bunch of
that. Oh, my gosh.
$300 worth of crack. In his crack.
Yep.
Remember the guy that, while President Barack Obama was here? You didn't think I was going to get it.
About that. That
you
was
didn't
gonna
think
be
I was
so
going to
I wasn't going to say anything.
So sweet.
Had it. No problem. He was here, and apparently he was on Marine One. And a tiny little plane flew into the airspace, and they take that a little seriously.
Talk about flying high. The pilot of a small private plane faces a drug probe after straying into restricted airspace.
Small plane flew into Marine One's airspace out in Los Angeles while the president was on board.
Now, they take that pretty seriously while the president's on Marine One.
Yes, they do.
They restrict the airspace.
And Marine One, that's his helicopter, right?
Yes.
That's what that is. That's different from Air Force One. So, in other words, this guy who had all these drugs never would have been found out except he intentionally started up his plane and flew it into the airspace that was restricted.
I think so. He probably didn't know it was restricted, but when the fighter jets forced him to land?
Fighter jets intercepted the plane and escorted it to a nearby airport.
Long Beach.
That's where authorities found more than 20 pounds of marijuana on board.
Yep. So the dude with the marijuana in the plane flies into Air Force One airspace. And then they go, nice. No, you don't. And then they found all the weed.
So don't do that is what we're saying.
We do not condone drug use, first of all.
Of course not.
But the funny ways you got caught with drugs, that will entertain us, I believe, because you're an idiot. We want to hear the story of you're an idiot. 1-800-520-1067. You got caught with drugs because you were stupid and you did fill in the blank.
You forgot they were in your carry-on as you approached a TSA agent who then displayed them for all to see.
Sure.
As an example, people who travel sometimes with an enormous amount of drugs and think that somehow they're just going to walk onto a plane
say
with them.
Say mushrooms
realize.
At Burbank.
Yeah, if you have Aaron Sorkin. Exactly, yeah. So you left him somewhere where you shouldn't have. You made it easy for somebody to catch you. That's the story that we're looking for right now. And look, we have no doubt the Kevin and Bean listeners have been there. This one is ringing a lot of bells with you right now. 1-800-520-1067. We want to take your calls coming up next right here on the Kevin. You're Kevin and Bean. This is on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. Monica, thank you for checking in here. We're talking about dumb ways you got discovered with your drugs. Maybe they weren't as hidden as they should have been. I had a marijuana plant a friend gave me when I was in high school. To hide it from my parents, I put it on the windowsill outside my bedroom window off to the side so it couldn't be seen from inside my room. Unfortunately, it could be seen quite clearly to everyone on the street outside my house, including my parents pulling into the driveway. Yeah. So that's how her plant was discovered.
King of Mexico just told us he didn't think his mom would know what it looked like. So he just grew it in his bathroom.
That's a pretty good guess, but why would a kid grow a plant in his bathroom?
That's a good point. Yeah.
It's a terrible plan. What teenager doesn't think his parents know a pot? You're not the first generation to discover marijuana, right? All right, let's take, we got some great ones and we don't have that much time. Let's take Nathan. How about Nathan gets us going here on line four? His involves being discovered not by friends, not by family, but by the police. Hey, Nathan, welcome.
Hey, what's up, guys? Lisa May, good morning.
Good morning.
Anyway, quick to the point, riding shotgun up to Mammoth, drinking on the way, get pulled over, one of those little stick towns on your way up there, and I asked the cop a dumb question. Can I use the bathroom? I needed to whiz. He lets me go. The pipe fell out of my pocket. And as I'm urinating in the desert, he says, hey, where's the weed? And I realized that was in my pocket still, so I threw it with a little baggie. Came back up to the car. They searched the vehicle. Couldn't find anything. Good cop, bad cop. Bad cop had a hard-on to find something. The good cop said, just let him go. About 10 minutes up the road, they pull us over again. The bad cop went down where I peed, found the bag.
Nice.
Busted me.
Nice.
Not fine.
And that was the short version of the story?
That was. That was getting to the point, Bean.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try Josh. This is a bad scene on line five. Hey, Josh. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Morning, party people.
What happened?
So, started experimenting with hallucinogenics at a very young age, say around 15 years old. Brother wants to go out on a date. I think I'm off, like, at basketball practice or something. Starts searching through my room for clothes or something to borrow. Comes across an ice drop container. I don't know if you guys remember that the breath mints used to come in liquid form.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So he's thinking, hey, I'm going to have some fresh breath on my date. Decides to take that, not knowing that it's acid. Takes a couple of drops during his date. 2 hours into it, we get a phone call from his girlfriend. She's freaking out. He's an absolute mess, not knowing what to do with him.
Yeah.
Brings them home. Parents start flipping out. They're just like, they have no idea what the heck is on, what to do. So all of a sudden, I become the doctor from being the culprit, trying to facilitate answers like, well, you should give him orange juice and things like that.
They're like, how do you know what he has?
Imagine how freaked out he must have been, though, to start having that reaction when, to his mind, he didn't do any drugs. All of a sudden, he just starts wigging out thinking he did breath mint. That's crazy.
To this day, he has never tried anything else.
Well, that's a pretty bad first experience, I would say. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
All right. Let's try let's try Zach. Zach got expelled for how his drugs were found out. Zach, what grade or school are we talking about here?
I was a senior at Sacramento High School.
Okay. Okay. What happened?
Loyal High School. And I had a book that I hollowed out because I thought I was, you know, being real quick about it. And I put a couple of joints in there, and I went, after class was over, I went to smoke them, and I opened it up, and I realized that I had the wrong book, and I was trying to go through the classes that I had been to that day, and I figured it out, and I went back, and the teacher was holding it, and I was like, I didn't know if I was, you know, I couldn't tell from his face if I was busted or not, and I realized I wasn't, and he almost handed it to me, and then he opened it up, and the two joints fell right out onto his desk.
Oh, did he say one for me, one for you?
No, I didn't. I think I cried a little bit. I think I kind of, different sounds came out of different parts of my body. And then I had to go back and repeat it. They kicked me out, but they let me come back, so I came back for a fifth year of high school.
Oh, no, you mean you literally got expelled for the rest of the school year for that?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a little harsh.
That is a little bit harsh.
But you know what? Crazy. It was stupid. I think it was parts because of the drugs and parts just because of stupidity.
Yeah, so, well, maybe that's what it was.
All right. Dumbass, yeah.
Great calls. I think about 60% of the reason the King of Mexico likes UFC is because of Brittany Palmer, by the way, being
in
the Octagon.
That's very true. Yeah.
So he is just, I don't know what to do with him. He's a mess because she's here and she's joining us in studio coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean
Show. Ralph, you need to keep him away from her. Can you do that?
Nope.
Try to keep him away from her.
Nope.
Try to. Yeah. Not possible.
Run interference, man. Save the poor girl. Mm. Right now, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday. What's happening?
I bet she can handle herself.
I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. She's pretty good with her dukes. You know what I'm saying?
She can fight.
Keep your dukes up.
Right.
Your dukes. These are your dukes right here.
Right.
Keep your dukes.
You don't need that for
Always
Dave.
Always have to have your dukes.
You don't need that for Dave.
Make sure you have your dukes.
Got it.
Don't ever leave home without
dukes.
Your dukes.
Okay. I got the duke thing.
Where did they come from, by the way, the dukes?
I don't know.
Where's that nickname?
Put your dukes up? I don't know.
Put your dukes up. Today is the next court date for Lindsay Lohan. Showing up in court today, facing her favorite judge, Stephanie Saltner. Again, to report on her progress. Last time we saw Lindsay in court, she was still required to finish 12 more days of community service at the morgue and undergo 4 counseling sessions. Will she have provided that?
She seemed like she was on target, right?
Yeah. E! Online, by the way, will start live streaming the hearing beginning at 9:30 a.m.
It's great because this judge hates her.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating. So,
now, is Bobby Brown invited to this? Do we know?
I don't think that's the same thing.
Hope he shows up with his entourage.
Lindsay told E! News she's finished with the requirements so far, and she's on the home stretch now and eager to focus on her film and television projects. I guess she's got a lot of movies and TV shows she hasn't seen yet, so she's going to get home and make it a project to work her way through her DVR and
catch up
on her Netflix queue.
Right.
That's the only TV and film projects I can imagine she's got waiting for her.
Well, she does have a disaster waiting for her in 2 weeks in New York.
Live from New York, it's Saturday night.
That's going to be terrible.
Yeah, odds are. Rumor has it she's landed that role as Elizabeth Taylor, too, in the upcoming Lifetime biopic, Liz and Dick. Lindsay has been connected to so many...
Yeah.
Richards. over the years.
Right.
That it's nice that Burton now is finally getting his chance, that's all I'm saying. She has taken the part very seriously. Obsessing over getting it right, says TMZ.com.
Sure.
And she won't be able to start filming until March after her probation ends. And then there will be all kinds of requirements that she'll have to fall in line with for a lifetime to keep her employed. So we'll wait and see.
It'd be like hourly drug tests.
Yeah, right. No. Cut! Drug test! Set up a makeup team after each take. They will send in a urologist to draw some urine.
Yeah.
Charlie Sheen just couldn't keep his mouth shut. Last week, apparently, while I was on vacation, he unleashed on Ashton Kutcher and 2 1/2 Men, talking about, well, here's what he said. I'm tired of pretending the show doesn't suck. I'm tired of pretending Ashton doesn't suck. It's nothing personal. No, obviously
doesn't
not.
Doesn't sound like it.
I just feel bad for him. He's saddled with such bad writing. Well, Charlie's feeling bad about that comment, and so he has posted an open letter to Ashton on TMZ.com. For the most publicity, I'm sure.
Sure.
Dear Ashton, my bad. I was disrespectful to a man doing his best. I got excited and threw you into the crossfire. But the rest of my statement I stand behind. You, however, deserve better. Safety in your travels, good sir. So, I guess that's sort of an apology?
Hmm. Wow. He doesn't seem capable of getting out of his own way, does he?
No, and he starts filming his show soon, too. So.
And that crappy writing that he talks about kept him in the millions of dollars in that show in the top 10 for 8 or 9 years.
Yeah. Nothing's changed, by the way, in that writing.
Right.
I've seen episodes before and after.
Yeah.
Same
quality of writing, I'm saying, that you had, Charlie, which is not that much. And Star Magazine says they have just landed an interview with Whitney Houston's personal drug dealer. Good. I'm glad he's finally giving interviews. I've been waiting for this. He's got a good agent. I hope he writes a book and makes a lot of money.
I didn't know the drug dealers were coming out of the woodwork to do interviews.
If you can't count on your drug deal to keep their effing mouth shut,
right?
What is this world coming to? The whores and drug dealers should be like priests. There should be some sort of sacrosanct bond between those two that cannot be broken. You cannot speak out about those relationship.
It should be like a lawyer.
Priests and lawyers and hookers, right?
And doctors and hookers and mistresses. It's a long list of people I would tell shut the F up to. The dealer says that her drug use was worse than anyone knew. Really? We all thought it was bad enough to kill her.
Yeah.
Was it worse than that?
I don't think it's worse than
most
people.
Is he going to kill her twice? I think it's just as bad as we think it was, which is deadly. She had a deadly drug habit.
Who is he giving this interview to?
It would be the Star Magazine.
Star Magazine.
Yeah, so pick up your copy today.
No.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Don Pardo from Saturday Night Live is 94 years old. Kyle MacLachlan.
Happy birthday, Coop. I hope you enjoy yourself.
A little Twin Peaks joke. 53 years old. Rachel Dratch of Saturday Night Live is 46. Jerry Ryan turns 44 years old. Thomas Jane of Hung is 43 years old. Drew Barrymore, 37. James Blunt celebrates his 35th birthday. Tom Higginson of Plain White Tees celebrates his 33rd birthday. Today, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
kind of feel like the first 4 hours of the show don't count because it begins right now. This is really the only thing that matters on today's show. Ladies and gentlemen, Brittany Palmer in studio with us here from the UFC. She is the Octagon Girl and is on the cover of the brand new March issue of Playboy magazine. Hey, Brittany, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
You're not going to yell at us like you yell at your people, are you? You saw that tantrum you were throwing.
Dude, that's the point. He's my manager. I feel like I pay him so I can yell at him. That's the only person in the history of anyone that I can yell at.
He's there to take crap. That's his job. Plus, he came late and he came in the wrong direction. All kinds of stuff.
I love that you called him a donkey, though. That's I'm going to use that. That up. So, Brittany, things are changing fast for you. You're getting your name, getting your face, getting your boobs, getting everything out there. People are knowing who you are. People are loving you. This must be kind of exciting for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's all kind of sinking in. I just got back from Brazil, so I was right when the magazine released. I was kind of away for the initial, pop of it. But now that I'm back and I'm seeing it on stands and I'm doing, the press tour. It's crazy.
That has to be a little weird to walk by and see yourself on the magazine on a stand.
It's so weird. It's so weird.
Do you like cover up?
It's weird for even my friends. I mean, people that have known me since, grade school, they're walking by, they're like, really? Like, it's just so, it's awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah. Tell me how that works with your friends. And I guess it depends on who your friends are and how close you are to them. But I mean, they want to support you and see this great honor of being in Playboy magazine. But on the other hand, they're friends with you and it might be a little bit awkward to see you naked. How do they handle it?
I actually, right out of high school, I started dancing in big Vegas shows. So I was in a burlesque show for 3 years. So, I mean, that was kind of, I think that was their big, introducing them into like a different kind of me, like more of a sexy version. So at this point, they're all used to it. So it's normal,
I guess. Good to be your friend.
It's good to be my friend.
You were also a magician's assistant, it says.
Yes, I was a magician's assistant at,
for who?
At 18 years old. Nathan Burton.
Nathan Burton?
Yeah.
Not Lance.
No, not Lance. So they get him confused. Okay.
This is his younger cousin who wasn't quite as good.
Understandably. So, at the Planet Hollywood, at that time it was at the Aladdin, at the V Theater, and then now he has a show at the Flamingo. Why did I just plug him?
I don't know.
That's weird.
I don't know.
It's my ex-boyfriend, too, so it's even more.
It's your ex-boyfriend.
Oh. I know. Give him a plug. Awkward. No one goes see the show. I'm just kidding.
So is that, it's show business, I guess. I mean, you're getting paid to entertain, but is that fun, exciting, different, challenging? What's it like being a magician's assistant?
Yeah, it's a blast. We don't do, you do one show a day. That's it. Like
That's pretty nice.
And then magician's assistant, if you get a couple bruises and scrapes, I think dancing in the burlesque show was probably the funnest job I've ever had because, I was with five other girls and all of us are best friends and you just go on stage and just rip it.
I don't think that's what she meant with.
And you can just eat whatever you want because you're just burning 20,000 calories a night up there, right?
God, I wish. That would be awesome.
No.
Man, I've been on a diet since I was 12.
You're working out like crazy,
really?
Though.
It doesn't, it doesn't matter. I think I'm just like one of those, I have that body figure. It's more womanly. Like, I might as well smear, the pizza-smelling room in here on my butt, because that's exactly where it goes automatically.
Wow. Even the smell of this room goes on your butt?
Exactly.
Strange.
Now, I'm fascinated by this. Except for my friend Jimmy Kimmel, I don't really know anybody who was born and raised, I don't know if you were born there, but raised in Las Vegas, right? That's where you're from, is Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So when you're going to grade school, going to middle school, going to high school, and then is it just a given? Do lots of people go into the entertainment business? They go, hey, I want to go work on the strip because that's what I've been around my whole life, or what?
I don't think it's a given. For me, I've just always been more of a creative person. I'm an artist now, and I'm an art student, so I've always really been into music and dance, and I've always loved that aspect of it. So I think just try to find the best opportunity to do that in Vegas. And I did. I went to, I studied dance.
Dance.
Yeah.
So if you hadn't gotten the burlesque job though, did you have a straight career, quote unquote, in mind as well?
Spearmint Rhino.
Yeah. No, I wanted to be a producer. I wanted to produce my own burlesque show, really. So I was dancing and that's kind of how you eventually learn the industry enough and produce.
Is that still in your future?
Yeah. I'll still do it, of course.
Still looking forward to that, yeah.
Wow. So how does the UFC, how do they find you? How do you get on their radar?
Well,
WEC first, I guess, is how you got into the sports. But
WEC, I was in WEC first. But being a dancer, you would sign up with modeling and talent agencies in Las Vegas. They called me for an audition for the WEC, and then I've been with them ever since, and it merged over to UFC.
What was the tryout for that like? Because really, all you have to do is hold that sign.
That's exactly what the tryout was.
Really?
It was awesome.
Hold the sign. I mean, there was no dancing involved.
No, But, you know, it's like a personality thing. It's like we had to click with them. You know, they talk to you. Because ultimately, I've been with them for so long. You know, you want to have that, like, connection with someone. And,
right.
You know, we did. It was great.
Yeah, you've outlasted some of the fighters that have come and gone. You've been with them so long. So, I mean, do you run in the same circles as those guys? I mean, do you consider the UFC fighters, for instance, among your friends? Are they people you'd hang out with?
You know, there's not too many fighters that are based out of Los Angeles or but, I mean, yeah, I guess I hang out with all of them. I travel with them, you know, on a regular basis. We all, if they're not fighting, usually they're doing appearances at the same events. So, I mean, I travel every weekend, every other weekend. So, yeah, they're definitely in my social circle.
Joe Rogan's the guy that told us we had to have you in. Like, yeah. We needed that tip.
Joe Rogan's awesome.
He is. He's the best.
And you'll, whatever pills he gives out, you take those, right? Because Rogan's always got the best stuff, right?
I would not know. I don't know.
tell me what it's like when you get on TV and you've got millions of people getting these fights and watching it, and you develop a fan base. I mean, a large fan base around the world. How's that impact you?
You know, it's so I would imagine it would impact someone different than me. It's so hard for me to comprehend, really, that I have fans. I don't know. It's different. It's so, like, I always feel kind of awkward and almost socially weird when I say I have fans or I have people lined up for autographs, because I'm just like, I'll sign every single one because I don't look at them as fans. I just, like, it's just like they're like Band-Aids. Have you ever seen that movie Almost Famous?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
like,
sure.
Band-Aids,
yeah.
If I was a band. But, yeah. It's cool. It's honestly, I'm the luckiest girl in the world right now. I'm so happy. I'm the happiest I've ever been, and I appreciate everything that's given to me, and it's great. It's really great.
You mentioned this is the voice of Brittany Palmer here on The Kevin and Bean Show. We are going to talk about the March issue of Playboy, in which she is featured, coming up in a few minutes here on The Kevin and Bean Show. But you mentioned you just got back from Brazil, mm-hmm. and you're heading to Japan, I guess, very soon for the next UFC 144, right?
No, I won't be in Japan.
Oh, you're not going to Japan?
No,
okay.
I won't be in Japan.
I want to know why.
Australia.
I want to know right now.
and who we can write a strongly worded letter to.
No, you know, I have class, man. I'm trying to do this whole thing. And now with Playboy coming out, I have press with them. I can't go to Australia because I am hosting in Friday night. I'm hosting in Seattle. Saturday night, I'm hosting in Vegas. And, you know, busy.
Your personal life is getting in the way of my fighting and watching the UFC. I appreciate
you're
that.
You're giving up a free trip to Australia to come to Seattle. Look, I live in Seattle and it's fine, but go to Australia.
I have been to Australia. I've been. I know. Honestly, it was one of those. We had already signed the deal, and school, it's my biggest thing, is I'm trying not to take off as much school as I've been.
Education is for losers, Brittany. You're hot. You should be on TV. That's what we're saying.
But I got to be a painter. I have to do it.
That's your ultimate goal, is to be a painter and an artist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, eventually.
All right, we need to take a break. Dave, I know Dave is now not going to buy the fight. I know that.
Because why bother?
Oh, Brittany was not on the fight. I want my money back. He asked for his money back. Brittany Palmer is here. She is on the March issue of Playboy magazine, and we will return in a second on The Kevin.
Brittany Palmer in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show. She, of course, in the UFC octagon. She's also the cover girl of the March issue of Playboy magazine. Her website is BrittanyPalmer.com, Twitter at Brittany Palmer. And you're signing copies for people all over the world of this Playboy if they want to buy one, right, Brittany?
That's yes, right. You can buy them from my website, BrittanyPalmer.com, and we will sign them. For you.
Tell, and by we, you mean you have assistants that actually sign your name for you.
Well,
I hope.
No, God, that would be cool. Yeah. No, I sign them, but I don't send them out, so I put it as we, as in me and my manager are a team. I
sign them. You're no good manager. The donkey.
He tells me the name to write, and I think of something. Yeah, the donkey. Now, sitting back here lurking, staring, watching me.
Playboy, and you can't blame him for that. Playboy is a great move, and I think our Ariana Celeste, I think we had her in after she did her Playboy.
We did.
And I mean, it really is kind of a great way to expand a fan base from somebody like you who's, you know, already you got the UFC fans, and now you're going for everybody. And the impact of Playboy magazine, even here in the 21st century, it's tremendous, right? It's a big deal.
Yeah, I guess that's what they keep telling me. You know, it's a really big deal.
Have they been asking you for a while, or how did this come about this time?
You know, it was kind of I guess they had asked me. This is kind of, we've been in discussion with it for 6, 7, 8 months, 9 months, and so it took a little bit for, you know, it to kind of all come together, and it did.
Timing wise,
yeah, timing just kind of worked out all in a perfect little notion.
And you'd been not naked, though, in the burlesque show, right? That was just skimpy, right?
Yeah, it was just really skimpy.
So how tough was it to go to that next, that next level?
Okay, so, well, I'm an art student here. So I do figure drawing and figure painting classes every single week. So for me, it was, you know, it was really... the woman body I appreciate, and I've been in burlesque shows and I've been on TV and I've kind of done it. So it wasn't that bad for me. I mean, I definitely had to have a glass of champagne to like loosen me up a little. Like I was a little frozen, I guess, in the beginning, but it wasn't that bad. I've had some practice, I guess. I don't know what that means.
Being naked, you've had some practice.
Being uncomfortable in front of a lot of people.
What's this? I can't make out. What's this tattoo on your right shoulder? It looks like a paragraph of some writing.
It's a sonnet from Shakespeare. It's his first sonnet. I was in a car accident a couple years ago, and I couldn't walk for a little bit. And I think that,
dude.
I think that I really started appreciating my friends and, you know, everything in life and. Because I lost everything, really, for a second. And the tattoo is about, like, being a narcissist and how in being that and only thinking about yourself and, you know, doing it for yourself, you're being cruel to everyone, including yourself. So that's kind of was my reminder, just how important and, you know, valuable life is because, I could have lost mine. So.
And that was so important to you, that message, that you put it right up there on your body in a place where you literally can't see it.
I see it all the time. It's actually on the centerfold of Playboy magazine. Yeah! And in the article, so really.
Right, no.
It means on a daily basis, but
right,
yeah.
It's on your back. I mean, it's
yeah,
hard to see.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was just putting it on me. I mean, if I wanted to put the paragraph on my forehead without looking ridiculous, I would have.
No, I understand.
Nah, I just move.
How scary? I mean, was there a time where you thought you weren't going to be able to walk again?
No. I mean, I fractured my pelvis in three places. Yeah, your pelvis is one of the thinnest bones in your body. It should have shattered, and I would have been out of commission for like 6-7 months. Mind you, at that time, I was dancing in a burlesque show. Now, not being able to walk, and I was in WEC, so I had to. That's why I missed the Florida event at that time. I actually went to a WEC fight with crutches. A couple months later.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to get back on your feet dancing?
3 months.
3 months.
2-3 months. Yeah. Yeah, and I was still, and it's still, you know, bad. It's one of those things.
It will always be a problem?
Yeah, my hips will always kind of be a little weird. And dancing did a number on it anyway, and running and training and blah.
Wow. Okay. In our remaining moments here with Brittany Palmer, and again, if you want to see that Playboy, it's available on Playboy Online, and it's on newsstands everywhere, and you can get an autographed copy through the website, BrittanyPalmer.com. Let's talk about your art for 1 second, because I know that that is a passion of yours. Is this something that you also paint and then sell to people, or what?
Yeah, lately I've been doing a lot of commissions, which is a blast, because my fans, or Band-Aids, whatever we want to call them, they're so creative, as you know, as creative as I am. So I do commission pieces, and you can contact my manager on my website. If you go to BrittanyPalmer.com, go below, there's contact page.
Click on Donkey?
Yeah. We should just, or Big Bad, I can't even say. Big Bad Bill. I call him Big Bad Bill.
I thought you should say butt for a second.
No, yeah, I do. I just did a Dana White commission. I did, which is one a really cool piece. I did a self-portrait. I've done a Sammy Hagar, a Jimi Hendrix guitar. Someone actually sent me a guitar, and I painted Jimi Hendrix on it. It's pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah, it's great. It's awesome.
How long are you going to stay with the UFC, Brittany?
Yeah, this is...
Forever? Just because it's not that much work?
No, you know, it is a lot of work, but I love it. I'm legitimately an MMA fan, you know? I'm not just going to work. Like, I am stoked for it, and I am going to ride this wave as far as I can take it.
Are you upset when the fights come up like this that you're not going to be at?
I'm still going to watch them, yeah. You know? I do want to be there, and I want to be with Ariane, and I would be with everyone, but, you know, I'll see her at the next event, and
right.
It's not the end of the world.
Who's your favorite fighter?
Oof. I don't know. I like John Jones. I like Uriah Faber. I have so many, man. It's hard. They're all good in their own way, whether it's as a person, as a fighter, just as, you know, they're just rad.
I got to tell you, we've interviewed a lot of UFC guys, and they are all almost to a man fantastic. Just great people, funny, have a great sense of humor, don't take themselves so seriously.
They're so smart. I mean, everything. Kenny Florian, he is a great friend of mine as well. I mean, he went to Boston College. I mean, he's mastered. He's great.
Yeah.
All these are just, they're geniuses, and they're completely talented. It's great.
And you talk to other other guys from other sports, and they're not always that smart.
Exactly.
Well, I'm glad we've been wanting to have you on this show for a long time, Brittany, and I'm glad that Playboy finally brought us together. So thank you for telling us you're not going to leave the UFC, because we do look forward to seeing you every time you can make it on the fights.
And, thank you.
Good luck with the art. Good luck with the Playboy. And again, BrittanyPalmer.com is the website for all things Brittany. You can click on Donkey to ask a question. And it's awesome that you came by to see us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. And it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Show just keeps getting better.
Yes, it does.
You would
think just by virtue of the fact that we now have experience is what we're doing.
Oh, yeah. Please.
Better, right?
Yeah.
Just accidentally we'd get better just from doing it every day.
Yeah. Yeah. You would think that.
Yep.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Now let's see if this is getting any better.
I doubt it. Jessica Simpson, trying to use her enormous girth to her advantage, was trying to cut her way in the line at a popular Mexican restaurant in Santa Barbara this week.
It seems like you would not do that just out of the I'm a celebrity so people will think I'm a dick.
I don't think she shies away from using her celebrity to her advantage. And then on top of it, she's pregnant, so that gives her an extra sense of entitlement.
Sure.
The crowd there at the restaurant did not see it like that, however, according to onlookers. Everyone started yelling and booing her.
I love that.
And drove her from the restaurant. She left and, according to sources, had to settle for Taco Bell instead. So, nothing wrong with the Bell.
Nope. Love the Bell.
No.
But I bet she stood in line when she got there.
But that's unbelievable.
Kevin, have you seen her lately?
I've seen her.
I think the Seahawks are looking at her pretty seriously for next season. I really do.
Well, she's huge. She's low to the ground, huge. Low center of gravity. She makes a great tailback.
Here's some chocolate, Fatso.
By the way, we know she's pregnant. We know.
Yeah, we got it.
But
still.
Yeah.
She's fat on top of being pregnant. That's not an excuse.
You can't abuse the privilege of putting on a couple pounds when you're carrying a baby, okay? Use some decorum, for God's sakes.
Right. No baby gains you 200 pounds,
that's
okay?
Right. That's
I also predict never losing that for her.
Well Ralph, did you say
she'll have the baby.
She's got some sort of deal, Weight Watchers or some deal afterwards, right?
Was she the one? I think it was Mariah Carey who had the weight loss.
No, I think, I have to check. I don't want to give wrong information, but I think she's already hooked up to lose it.
Yeah. How charming and chubby.
If you weren't an actor, what would you do? Us Weekly magazine asked a bunch of celebrities, and here are their interesting responses. Jennifer Aniston said she'd like to be a dermatologist. The skin, as you know, is our largest organ.
That's what they tell me.
Yeah. Got to take care of it. Got to take care of your skin. I slathered on the sunscreen when I was in the Caribbean. I did not want to take any chances.
You don't look burned at all. That's true.
Places I'm burnt, I have two large stripes across the top of my feet.
From your flip-flops or whatever?
I put sunscreen on my feet.
Doesn't matter. They're super white.
And then I put my flip-flops on, and I was walking around the islands. And then when we got to the beach, I took the flip-flops off and walked in the surf. Which is what you do. You walk along the beach there. Well, apparently the fabric of the flip-flops had worn off the sunscreen where it was rubbing on my foot.
Sweet.
You wouldn't think that's possible. Think there would be some sort of flip-flop-proof sunscreen.
Yeah, no.
And so I left that part of my skin exposed, and that's not a good place to get a sunburn on the top of your feet.
That hurts.
Because when you go to try to wear shoes or take shoes off or socks or shower or walk.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of things that are impeded by a bad sunburn.
For like a week and a half or two.
Yeah, it can be quite unattractive as well. So. Michelle Williams said she'd like to be a laundress or a sous chef.
Okay.
By the way, we haven't had laundresses since the 1860s, I don't think.
Is that somebody who does laundry? What is that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
People work at a dry cleaner or something?
I don't think that would be a laundress. I think a laundress, you need a rock and a stream and I think some phosphorescent soap. I think you need to actually get that job done.
I'm not surprised the type of work she would choose. Doesn't she seem really uncomfortable with being a quote-unquote celebrity?
Yes. She would be on a commune. Spinning her own raw cotton into thread, I think, if she wasn't a celebrity. She'd be living somewhere in the great northwest of this country, in my opinion. Ryan Reynolds says, being a Canadian and all, he would have followed in the footsteps of his dad and become a Mountie. Apparently his father was a member of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
They're the cops that ride on horses that don't have guns? Wear the stupid hats?
All of the above.
Yeah. Okay.
I think there are Mounties that also don't ride horses, however.
Oh, is that right?
I think they have Carries, I guess they would be, or Mounties who just drive patrol cars. I don't think they're all on horseback.
They are. I think every single cop in Canada is on horseback.
That would be a...
it's true.
It would be a messy country if that was the case. You'd be careful where you walk along the streets. And Britney Spears, our favorite, with our favorite answer. I'd probably be a teacher, she said.
Sure.
I'd specialize in reading and history. Both spelled wrong, by the way, reading and history.
Huh?
Excellent.
No, I kid. Adele, I grow more in love with her every time I see her. She was at the British Music Awards Tuesday night in London.
She's great.
She was given the award for Best Album. During the acceptance speech, the host of the show interrupted her to introduce the band Blur.
What?
The host said, excuse me, I'm sorry, thank you, I have to cut you off. It's time for us to take a look at Blur, everybody. Well, please welcome Blur. But she, as you can imagine, was dumbfounded.
Wow.
The crowd began to boo, and Adele flipped the bird to the producers of the show.
Adele!
Just gave this to people running the event. Come on! That's my girl.
I love that.
But wait, and she won the Album of the Year Grammy while you were on vacation too, Ralph. I don't know if you saw the ceremony,
but didn't.
Isn't that the centerpiece of the evening? The biggest award to the biggest star? Why cut away from that?
Blur? Centerpiece is apparently Blur.
Oh, my God, that's an unbelievable decision. Look, even if they're running late, you run late if Adele is on stage thanking people.
Yes.
That's funny.
She apologized after the show. She said she wanted to make sure the fans knew it was not towards them or the audience. It was directed to the Suits, she said, running the award show, and she was sorry if she offended anyone. But the Suits offended me, she said.
Sweet.
Gotta love Adele.
Mm-hmm.
And forget all those rumors you've heard about Jeremy Lin dating Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
I didn't even know there were such rumors, but apparently there are.
There were briefly, yeah.
He was on Good Morning America yesterday in an interview where he said he addressed the rumors regarding dating Kim Kardashian. Jeremy Lin said, stuff about me dating Kim Kardashian. I mean, I have no idea where that came from and all these rumors. He said, but I don't think I'm that type. People are speculating what that means. I think he means not an idiot. I think that's what he means.
He didn't go to Harvard. Yeah. He's smarter than that.
I think he's
that.
Trying to say, I went to Harvard. I've got a degree in economics. I'm a pretty put together dude. I don't think I would date dumbass Kim Kardashian is what he's trying to say. So good for him. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Don Pardo, he is 94 years old today. He, of course, the announcer of Saturday Night Live for almost its entire run. I believe there was a couple seasons in there where they replaced him with somebody younger. It did not work out, and they brought Don back. Kyle MacLachlan from Sex and the City. And as Bean mentioned, he was on Desperate Housewives for a couple seasons as well.
Who knew that?
Dune, Twin Peaks. Quite the career this guy's had. How about Blue Velvet? Let's talk about Blue Velvet.
One of the best movies ever.
Where we were introduced to Kyle.
That's right.
I'm not quite into the dreamy category with him.
When he was young, he was a handsome, fascinating, brooding, sort of dark young man. In Dune and Blue Velvet.
But
he had a lot going on. A lot beneath the surface there, that Kyle MacLachlan. Let's get him on the show.
Oh, I love that Blue Velvet so much.
Ask him about his pelvis and his art. He's 53 years old today. Rachel Dratch from Saturday Night Live is 46 years old. Actress Jeri Ryan celebrates her 44th birthday. She was 7 of 9, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Remember, she had the crazy tabloid frenzy for a while there with her husband who forced her to go to swingers parties?
That's
at all?
Right. Her politician husband wanted her to swing. That's a good time when someone brings Jeri Ryan to the swingers party.
Yeah, I'm sure. Everybody else is like, hey, me.
You're welcome anytime, pal. 7 of 9 is Star Trek Voyager, right? I want to say. She was part cyborg. I just remember that. I just wondered
what parts were machine and what parts were human. That's what I wondered.
I'd like to give her some WD-40. That's all I'm trying to say. Thomas Jane, he's hung. I mean, he's in hung.
He's in hung. He's a star of hung.
He's 43 years old. Drew Barrymore, 37 years old today. A lot of argument, a lot of internet buzz, a lot of debate as to whether Drew deserves a bell or not. Regarding
I got a couple of emails from people.
Yeah,
but I say,
too.
Look,
I've seen
recent photos of Drew Barrymore. She was attractive a few years ago, but I don't think
she was hot in E.T., I think. That's what she was. That was really the peak of her attractiveness. She's been going downhill.
The problem for me is that she's decently attractive, but they keep making her out to be a supermodel,
right?
And these commercials and stuff, and they cram it down your throat, and she's not a supermodel.
She is
to me
easy breezy cover girl. However, though,
all right, okay.
James Blunt, 35 years old. Tom Higginson of Plain White Tees celebrates his 33rd birthday, and Zach Zorig.
No one exists by that name, right?
That's fake. Sounds like a Dr. Seuss
That's
character.
A lie. Whatever that is, it's a lie.
Zack Zorig went to the forest. It says here he was Matt. He is Matt from the Vampire Diaries, 27 years old today. I'm not familiar with that program. The King of Mexico puts my list together, and I think he's a fan.
I like that show, too.
Then you must know Matt.
Not really.
You must know Zach Zorig.
I know the girls. That's about it.
27 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have a brand new internet roundup for you.
Fantastic.
20 new videos to show you.
Awesome.
We have Maxim's hometown hottie, Dominique Storelli.
I can't wait.
We have Dr. Drew, as we do every Thursday.
He's an artist.
He's our own hometown hottie,
That's
Dr.
Correct.
Drew.
You regret what you named your kids. We're going to take it from the other direction because there's so many kids that call in and go, my name is blah, 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 and I hate it my whole life. We're going to try and take calls from parents who regret what they named their own kids.
See, Southland last night?
It was a mistake. I taped it. I didn't watch it.
Oh, well, not a spoiler alert. But there is one of the calls that John Sherman has to go on with his partner, Lucy Liu. There's an altercation at a bakery because a guy is furious, a dad is furious that the baker won't put Happy Birthday Adolf on his cake along with a few swastikas. He's very upset. He prepaid for the cake, the kids' party's in an hour, and the Jewish baker simply will not write Happy Birthday Adolf with some swastikas on his cake. What if he regrets calling his son Adolf?
No, he's mad.
He doesn't. Yeah. This new study, Ralph, that we're going to talk about tomorrow is over half of parents regret the name that they gave their kid because either the kid didn't grow up to fit that name, they think, or for some other reason, like the name got too popular or whatever it is. I thought it was really interesting that they have name
lists. That is a lot, right?
Yeah.
One of the stars of Wanderlust, we have Ken Marino and... we have Troy Landry, who is the king of the swamp people.
The king?
The sun rises on the first day of alligator season. It's the day king of the swamp Troy Landry has been waiting a whole year for.
Sing it.
Boy, look how pretty. Oh, it makes me feel like singing. Sun's coming up. I got cakes on the griddle. Thank God I'm a swamp man.
That guy exists.
He, of course, is king because he has three teeth, right?
That's correct.
He's got the most of everyone on the show, so he gets
everybody
to be king.
Everybody goes, show us your teeth.
If he loses one, he gets demoted to Duke of the Swamp.
So that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.